Crew and Mike Show is rolling in the DealsInTheD.com studios, where we have a relatively full house. Mark, Trudy, Brandon from afar, and what a day Tuesday will be with 8 baseball playoff games in one day. 8 games. Oh my God, does that mean there's 8 games on Wednesday too? Probably so, because usually games 1 and 2 are back-to-back.
Sure, yeah, I guess.
We have the NBA Finals on Wednesday night, and of course, in the midst of 8 playoff baseball games on Tuesday, Trump versus Biden. The debate tomorrow night or Tuesday night. How about that?
Gee, do you think his tax returns will come up in the debate?
Oh, no. There's already a commercial about him.
I know.
Oh, really? That fast?
Yeah. That it has the amount he paid, $750, which is $750 more than Amazon. So
you are fake news.
He should do it. They should do a retort commercial with all the people he paid more taxes than. Amazon. I'm sure there's some other companies, but...
GE at one point, remember they paid zero taxes?
You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of rich people who don't pay much in taxes. It's kind of incredible to me. I mean, Amazon, the last 2 years, they haven't paid any taxes in 2 years, have they? Amazon?
No federal taxes, no, because of the reinvestment thing.
Well, I mean, Trump pays property taxes
this is a dumb question. Are these the tax returns that the New York Times wrote about? Are they Trump corporation or is it his individual?
I paid my taxes over a year ago.
Some of them are personal and some of them have to do with his businesses, from what
okay,
I understood.
I just didn't know if they were personal filings or...
The amount of information would seem to be more than personal income taxes that he owes $421 million. Yeah. I mean, they're suggesting that he is about to go kaput because he owns $421 million in loans, which is about to come due. That would be interesting. I'm
wrong.
Very curious to see.
Wait, if they foreclose on him because they were suggesting, you know, he could be the first president to be foreclosed on.
Stop it.
What would they foreclose?
Like foreclose on Mar-a-Lago,
the golf courses,
hotels,
really?
Buildings. Yeah.
Whoa.
They would spare him nothing.
A wet raccoon doesn't have $7 billion fucking dollars in the bank.
There's also a debate over $72 million refund he got 1 year.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that is going to be adjudicated, but I guess that's been going on for 10 years.
Slow down.
He's been audited multiple times, so, I mean, I don't really know why something would just go on and on and on. But that's what killed Willie Nelson, was he had a debate over $1 million that lasted, I think it was 18 years. And by the time, you know, they charge 18%, I think, interest.
You, my friend, are being audited.
Because they said the $72 million would be well over $100 million if he has to pay it.
Oof, wow.
So, yeah, I think that might come up.
This will change no one's opinion one bit.
No.
It won't.
Well,
because I was telling you, I feel like we already knew most of this stuff because a lot of it had been reported, even what he had coming due.
I recall in 2016 him saying, "Hey, I beat the system. What do you want me to do? I beat it. I beat the system." So a lot of these people that voted for him kind of already knew that he had some, you know, maybe tax issues or at least finagled the system. Meanwhile, other people who don't like him will just turn into another one of those things that they scream about for a couple of days, and then somehow he just gets around it because he's Teflon Don.
Well, he pays less in taxes than they have. That's what the Biden commercial has. Average secretary pays this much in taxes. The average school teacher pays this much in taxes. And actually, that's very misleading because he does pay other taxes in rather substantial amounts. But his federal income tax, no. He apparently paid $750 in – well, he paid almost no income tax in 11 of 18 years.
I'm not even mad at him for doing it. Does this blow up the everyman persona of him or no?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think it will either.
I think it's
It just shows how fucked the tax system is, exactly. Which is ridiculous.
Does this also disparage his business acumen, though? I mean,
I think that's.
I never went bankrupt.
That might be the intention. I mean, honestly, the reporting I saw today was implying that he's got a balloon payment due, and yeah. I don't know how he's going to make it, and I don't know how they know that. I would assume he could sell a lot of stuff.
He'll just get a loan from Putin.
it was all China bullshit.
I mean, what are his buildings worth? How much equity does he have in his buildings?
You gotta think, since he's in the travel and leisure category, they've been hit pretty hard the last 7 months.
Probably, yeah. Sure. I don't think that has that much to do with it, but yeah, they would have been hit. They said he lost money.
Not looking too good.
Plus, this is 2016 and 2017. We don't know what 2020 really looks like, but sure. It can't be good.
Well, I think that's the worry over paying the loans.
Yeah. What year are the loans due? 2025?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. So what about the hairstyling?
Oh, $70,000?
That's what I'm most curious about.
Well, that came... Well, we just did the math on it. It's about $1,500 a week. Now, I don't know if he gets a weekly haircut. Larry King used to get his haircut every day.
You know, I went to the Wharton School of Finance.
I don't think it's a haircut so much as it's this... They said haircut and styling.
Oh, someone has to do that, work his hair into that crazy alignment every day? It costs $70,000.
The real question is, does he get charged more per haircut than... Is it John Edwards that had the $400 haircut?
Was it two?
No, Clinton did.
Oh, Clinton did?
Yeah, on the runway.
That was a hairpiece.
It was Jose Ibert, wasn't it?
All
yeah,
right.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But maybe Edwards had that video where he's very concerned with how his hair looked.
Yes. Yeah, where he kept brushing it and looking into the mirror. Yeah.
Where is Johnny Edwards? I kind of missed that goofball.
He was married to that chick he knocked up, that he claimed his chief of staff murdered his wife. I know. That's the most insane story possibly ever. Oh, my God. To think that he was going to get away with that.
He ripped off Bunny Melon.
What did she throw into the fray? $90 million or something?
A shitload of money.
Oh, man. And the Inquirer just busted him going to visit the baby.
And he hid in the bathroom. I just love everything about John Edwards and his story. He's such a crook.
Well, I couldn't stand him from the minute he was asked if his attractiveness was a distraction, and he actually answered the question as if it was really a genuine concern to him.
What was the answer?
I think the answer was not really.
Yeah.
Oh, my attractiveness is nothing.
Yeah, it is distracting, but I think I can get through it.
You like what you see, huh?
Since 2017, the Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources that they may not have gotten otherwise. If you know anyone struggling with disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, painkillers, cocaine, alcohol, other things too, there's over 100 participating police locations, and they are asking to help you with no fear of being arrested. The police officer, if you do happen to go into one of these participating police stations, and you can go to hopenothandcuffs.com to see which police stations are doing this. It's just about everybody. The police officer will treat you with compassion. Call a volunteer angel that will come to the police department and assist with paperwork and make calls to get you placed into treatment that day. The first step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step toward recovery. And Royal Oak, wow, $8,600 were actually collected in Royal Oak bucks, the $20 increments that all of you signed up for. And now we're moving on to $1,000 increments because... they got the $1,000 gift cards to give away, and here's how it works. This past Saturday, was Downtown Day across Michigan. Royal Oak started the giveaway. It's on Instagram, @downtown_Royal Oak. You post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak, and then you tag it @downtown_Royal Oak and use the hashtag #MIDowntownDay. Five winners will be selected at random to get $1,000 in downtown dollars to use at participating local businesses. Head to Downtown Royal Oak's Instagram page to follow along and learn more. You can click the link on our website and get all the information if you missed any of that. And don't forget to visit Downtown Royal Oak, of course, and spend your Royal Oak bucks. You can win both. I mean, there's no rules about that.
Hey,
spend your money well.
And maybe pretty soon we'll get to stay in the bar till 4 a.m. So.
Yeah.
They keep Mesa and all of downtown Royal Oak open until 4 a.m.
I was surprised that anybody would be pushing for that. It just seems, I mean, like right now, does anybody really want bars open until 4 a.m.?
I know.
I mean, I'm sure there are, actually, yeah.
But they're like, how can we make more money to make up for what we lost? More hours in the night. So
it just seems to go against everything that seems to be. I mean, Chicago bars are open until there's 5 a.m. liquor licenses.
Oh, no kidding.
And I don't know why Michigan has only had 2 a.m. ever since I've been here, but I wonder. I mean, that sounded like it could actually happen. I was, really? I mean, why is that a thing now?
So they can help recoup their losses.
Between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m.?
I know.
I don't know how much they're going to recoup. But I'm sure a few bars would, because what happens is a few bars become the after-hours places, and they go crazy, and everybody else goes home.
Sure.
But, well, there's a lot of crazy news here locally, a lot of pretty unpleasant news. For example, 6 people were shot outside the Sting strip club, 2 females, 4 males, 2 men in critical condition. I was watching the lady on the news at noon today. She said she calls 911, hears shootings by this club all the time, and of course nobody cares. And she did say that 911 is busy sometimes in the middle of the night. Then at the haunted house Erebus in Pontiac, some guy cuts in front of someone in line, and this is such an injustice that he has to be shot and killed. And then the guy takes off in a blue SUV. And of course, there's tons, aren't there, kids in line to see the haunted house?
I would think. Well, I don't know about God. Erebus.
Erebus?
Some more older.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty scary.
I mean, you're not going to see really young kids up there, but
teenagers.
I was going to Erebus when I was pretty young, I don't know, 15, 16,
not
maybe?
Not little kids, but yeah, you're right.
Nonetheless,
I stayed in that line quite a bit, too.
Like that could have been me.
Cutting in line? I mean, really? What is wrong with people? Jesus.
If you get your tickets online, you can get a VIP so you can get front of the line. That'll never happen.
Ooh. Of course, somebody will not know you're a VIP and you'll probably get shot.
True.
Detroit led the nation in violence, by the way, violent crime in 2019. That just came out today.
I saw the news piece on the Sting nightclub on the shooting, and they're across the street, talking about what happened, and the reporter's going, by the way, here's a gunshot, here's a bullet hole from a previous shooting, here's another bullet hole. There's just bullet holes riddled all over that street.
Yeah, it's completely nuts. And actually, there has been a lot of, I don't know what 2020 is going to be like. It seems that it's definitely up in crime in a lot of places, but 2019, even though Detroit led the nation, it had less crime, 3% less than 2018. But there were other just brutal stories around here. A woman was pistol whipped and carjacked on 8 Mile and Evergreen. And, I was listening to her. Poor woman was just wrecked by this. And her car was wrecked, too. Whoever carjacked it wrecked the shit out of it. And it was a mess. Then Dearborn officers killed a man stabbing a woman in Dearborn. She literally called 911. They made it over there as this guy was killing her, shot him and killed him, and that officer is on leave, but she's been stabbed multiple times. Some guy shot a 22-year-old, and I think it's his 4-year-old son. And I think they're both alive, but they're both in serious condition. I mean, who shoots a 4-year-old? I mean, really? Really? White Boy Rick, first interview, Channel 7 Thursday. Is there some way we can circumvent that? White Boy Rick?
I mean, not to rain on their parade, but I saw the teaser clip, and he said the same thing he told us before he was released.
By the way, is Thomas Fiorini going to get all over Channel 7 for this?
That's all they talk about? He should be mad at Channel 4, too?
Boy, man.
He should be really mad at Channel 4. Must be furious at 7.
Yeah, this is bogus.
Yeah,
well, that their whole thing on him.
Their fault for getting rid of Dietz. I mean, Dietz was on the White Boy Rick beat.
What's happening to Kevin Dietz over at Channel?
It's a great question. Channel, tricking on call. I don't know.
Yeah, Dietz will pick
ADL
up.
ADL.
Yeah,
he should add an exclusive for ADL.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then sold it back to Channel 4.
Almont High School has shut down completely over one COVID positive test. Brandon.
Hey, Elmont. It's a better story than the Denby story. So,
what's the Denby story?
Come on,
from really? Early, yeah,
From, oh, way to bring that up. Year. You guys just can't let that
go,
the
fight.
Can you?
The fight. I see. Yeah. So why don't you have someone go to the COVID person, go down there and get everybody infected at Denby?
No. They're playing it safe, I guess. You know, one student, I think. It's not a big high school. Maybe
it's playing it soft,
500,
if you ask me.
600 kids, maybe. And, I don't know, one test, but you got to keep everybody out to make sure that one person doesn't spread it to everybody else.
No, you don't. Well, you don't.
According
have to
them, I don't know.
Contact tracing in Elmont?
Well, yeah. Are the kids not separated? Or is this guy just a loud talker who has to talk to everybody and shake everyone's hand?
I don't know. My high school arch nemesis, the superintendent, shut it down. Superintendent Kelmar.
Boy, that is mighty soft. One guy. I mean, maybe, do they not have surveillance or anything like that in Elmont yet?
You know, there might be more. I mean, I only had heard that there was the one case, so maybe there's 14 cases, 15 cases now. Who knows? But that's a small town, rural town, and here they are getting coronavirus.
Hmm.
Well, Matt on Facebook Live said there's probably only five kids at the high school anyway. So.
That's not
true. That's true.
Is it a one-room schoolhouse?
Yeah.
Look how offended Brandon
is. Yeah. Well, I mean, their five-person school makes it to the state championship in football. Come on.
Well, cheating. Yeah. Paying the refs. Cheating.
Being
they did.
By being racist.
Remember Denby pointed out how much cheating they did?
Yeah, you brought it
up.
They
didn't cheat at all. No.
Wow. What's your evidence?
Those kids have been
together
playing
they didn't
since they
cheat.
Were like five.
I don't want evidence that they cheated. I want your evidence that they didn't cheat. Prove the negative.
Nothing. They're hardworking farmers up there.
Yeah.
Strapping young lads.
Did you guys see the Exorcist-style meltdown, quote-unquote, on the plane heading into Detroit? I thought Exorcist-style meltdown was a little much.
No.
This woman is climbing down the plane, like holding on to the compartments above and climbing and screaming. And
God, I'd be so scared. Wow.
It was pretty weird. That
so
is pretty
she on the no-fly list now?
No, of course not. I heard nothing about that. Nothing to that effect. You can do anything on a plane and not be on the no-fly list. But if you don't wear a mask, then you're on the no-fly list. I mean, they said that.
Oh, yeah?
But exit door and they won't put you on the no-fly list.
Wait, if you don't wear a mask, you're on the federal no-fly list? Or are you just on, like, Spirit Airlines shit list?
I don't know. They said it was no-fly list.
That'd be great if the planes had a shit list and they posted it online.
They should.
For everyone they don't want flying on their
Spirits would be pretty long, right? Because
yeah, their manifest would be every other airline shit list.
Passengers should have a shit list about them too.
This
back at them.
Flight attendant was trying to, you know, calm this person, and she wasn't.
Tell them.
She was not having it. It took two guys from the front of the plane who came back there. And got a hold of her and dragged her up to the front of the plane. And
it looked like a Japanese horror film. You know how they always have some like crazy looking like.
Yeah, she looked crazy.
Yeah.
She did.
I have to go home.
Yeah, we heard you the first 80 times, pal. I like to imagine the guy in that clip going, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Talking about Dow, not the way the United treated him.
I wish we had a forensic accountant to find out why he had to go home so badly.
His glasses were broken.
I saw two stories today that I read back to back that just I just couldn't get over the divergence in results or impact the stories had. One was reading about Tom Brenneman.
You are fake news.
Who has resigned, quote unquote, from the Cincinnati Reds job for calling a city, do you say the fag capital?
Yeah.
Which was certainly not the right thing to say. And I figured he'd get suspended. I didn't.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
That was really the coolest thing to come out of it. It is the coolest call ever.
He should get a job apologizing for other people.
That would be an awesome thing.
He was the
need that now.
The voice of the Reds for 14 years. His father, Marty Brenneman, was the Reds voice for 45 years. I mean, that's 60 years, father and son.
Time
and then
for a
he says one stupid thing, and I guess the Reds were going to fire him, so he resigned. Meanwhile, he says, "I've hurt a lot of people. I have to live with it for the rest of my life." That sounds, I mean, as he goes on and on about it, it sounds so dramatic. I don't ever remember using
that fag talk we talked about.
I don't ever remember using that word in my adult life. Tom,
who believes that?
No one. Come on. That's ridiculous. Why would he suddenly use it? He just suddenly, like I used Kismet on the show one day. He just couldn't resist. So he meets, this is what's so pathetic, is he meets with the founder of the Cincinnati Human Rights Campaign, who is the voice of LGBTQ, I guess.
Okay.
And this guy, they're talking all the time, like every day. It's, why would they talk?
Hey, couldn't help
what?
Notice you guys frenching over here. I love it. You know, glad you guys are enjoying each other's mouths.
So then the head of the Human Rights Campaign invites him to a meeting with 12 other people who are part of this LGBTQ group. And they ragged on him, claiming that, oh, you're just trying to save your job. You're wasting our time. And he said that it made him realize that the hurt was so much deeper than he had originally thought.
Aww. And
learned so much. They had a 2-hour and 15-minute meeting with Tom Brenneman and these 13 people.
Yeah, I want you two to kiss each other.
Can you imagine the dreamweavering in that meeting? I mean, even for the LGBTQ people,
oh, yeah.
I would think they would be dreamweavering like crazy.
And he still had to resign after all that?
Yes. And Billy Bean, who is a VP in Major League Baseball, he works under the commissioner, and he was a gay Major League Baseball player. He says that he speaks to Tom Brenneman several times a week.
Well, he's got nothing else to do. Brenneman.
Well, Brenneman has nothing else to do, but what is there to talk about? He's screwed up.
Well, maybe he's learning. I mean, he's putting forth an effort. Doesn't that count for something?
Yeah, you got to go through these steps.
He's fired anyway.
You
got
to go through these steps, though. If he wants another job in the future, he's got to have these checked off his list.
Are you being cynical, or am I being Pollyannish to think that maybe he's like Herb Street? He's just realizing that, you know, things we all know. He's just now.
He said
what? What are we talking about?
You know what I mean?
He said a word, you know, a word that I'm sure a lot of people have said at some point. He said it thinking it wasn't on TV. It was wrong. He's certainly been punished to no end. But, I mean, the idea that he's going to, I mean,
Grant,
I wonder if maybe I'm having a hard time understanding how deeply people were hurt by this. But, I mean, is it really that hurtful? I guess it is.
Grant on Facebook Live said maybe Bean is trying to turn him.
So Brenneman is relating these stories, you know, from this meeting with these 13 people saying a man was intentionally hit by a car because he was gay. He was in the hospital for 9 months. Of course, in his broadcast voice, a man was walking into a gay bar. He woke up in the emergency room.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Another man was beaten by 4 men just for being gay, lost 12 teeth, and broke both eye sockets. This is in this group of 13.
Does he not realize that? No, whatever.
Did he never hear of Matthew Shepard at some point in his career?
Did he not ever watch that female Matt Damon movie, Boys Don't Cry?
Guess not. I mean, those are pretty extreme examples. And for a group of 13 gay guys, that's pretty, I mean, that's a pretty...
That's probably why they're in that
heinous
group.
Yeah, it could well be.
You said heinous.
So
with that group.
So anyway, I'm reading about this and I'm going, oh my God, Tom Brenneman. Boy, I mean, that is...
Heinous.
I don't know what would be the worst part about that. Obviously, losing his job is terrible, but I mean, to think that you just said something stupid and you have to sit through all this, I don't know. I just think I would dreamweaver it.
Well, he doesn't have to. Maybe he wants to. Because he's either going to try to get another job, or because maybe he feels bad. Maybe he has nothing else to do.
You don't think he wants to do this?
I don't think anybody wants to do that, but maybe he's...
I mean, you think he really, like these people who say, people after George Floyd, people say, I looked in the mirror, I had to really look inside myself and have some conversations. I was like, are you fucking kidding? Really? Really? Did people really do that? Were they impacted by that video?
Think no.
I would think no, too. I mean, if you're alive on this planet, you have some idea what's going on.
But I'm also surprised that there's a lot of people that, like Herb Street, are just realizing that, you know, there's other segments of the population.
What? What are we talking about?
I didn't even know that existed.
So anyway, the Tom Brenneman story, okay, just to be straight, he said the word fag during a baseball broadcast, which is... has no place in a major league broadcast or anywhere public, or, I mean, he shouldn't even say it privately. He said it was the first time he's ever said it. If that's the case, it's pretty bad timing. But then let's...
He's a victim of bad timing.
let's move on to another person who did something, well, you know, in my opinion, a whole lot worse, and responded a whole lot worse, too, and that is Tory Lanez, who just dropped an album where he is really calling out Megan Thee Stallion for faking being shot in her feet, which, by the way, the hospital she went to did agree that she was shot in both her feet.
Yeah.
But he's claiming that there's no broken bones, there's no tendons, yeah, right, and claims that she's framing him for shooting her, which is absurd. Why would she make this up? She's on video after this traffic stop. She's walking around leaving giant splotches of blood every time she walks.
Ew, God, gross.
He told the police that she stepped on glass.
And there just happened to be a bullet on top of that glass.
He also had a loaded gun in the car, a concealed gun that he is not supposed to have, and he was arrested for it. And he was pulled over because someone heard a shooting, which they thought was coming from near his car, described his car, called the police. The police tracked the car down rather quickly and pulled it over. So, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance that Megan Thee Stallion, who was trying to protect him originally by not saying that he did it, and then he started with this, you know, business of, you know, saying he was framed or that this is bullshit. She starts, this woman is a big star, too. She starts taking all this shit online for, you know, being a baby and why are you blaming this guy and, you know, you're fake and it's a big lie. You're trying to get attention.
I was wrong, by the way. He is apparently a bigger star than she is.
I guess he might be right now. So anyway, not only does he shoot her in the feet, he's lying, saying he didn't, that she's framing him, and he's really trolling her. And, you know, compare this to Tom Brennan, who is desperately, I mean, he said a bad word. He's desperately doing everything he can to apologize, and he cannot apparently keep his job. Tory Lanez, though, has shot a woman in both her feet, apparently telling her to dance. Yeah. That's what you heard. I hadn't heard that story. But, I mean, this just sounds so terrible. And then basically telling her to fuck off and that she's making it up. Okay, so I would think, in light of all the discussion about the treatment of women in this country and violence on women and that sort of thing, that maybe someone would say something about this, maybe say that this is really not okay. I don't hear a lot. I hear a lot of silence, a lot of nothing, except for one person, Rick Ross, who called Tory Lanez out and said that dropping this album while people are protesting what happened to Breonna Taylor is outrageous. And then Tory Lanez comes back and says that he went out and marched 9 straight days for Breonna Taylor in your city to Rick Ross. Says, I didn't see you out there once.
So we good? Is that what he said?
So this Lanez guy claims he marches 9 days for Breonna Taylor while he shoots another woman in the feet and then lies about it and, in fact, trolls her. So is that some absolution for him that he marches for Breonna Taylor? No, he's a fucking phony.
Not at all.
And Rick Ross comes back and says, you ain't protesting Miami. Only reason you was out there was because the condo you stayed in for $1,500 a month. I thought it was funny they mentioned it was for $1,500 a month. Makes it sound like it was a cheap condo. Was where the protest was, coming right down the street. So you went down and took a photo op. Ooh. And he says that he absolutely has been protesting. So these two guys are arguing that neither one of them really have been protesting for Breonna Taylor. But the point was that Rick Ross... is not,
guy, that Rick.
Not having this guy shooting this woman in the feet, who I guess is a friend of his, and then trolling her in a song, releasing an album, trying to make money off shooting a woman, basically. And, I mean, what's going on? Why is no one saying...
I don't know, you know. It happened.
Why does no one say anything about this? This is a big star. This is a well-known star.
Yeah, the main...
Shooting another well-known star.
The big mainstream media hasn't said boo about it, but they're... There have been a lot of articles online going, what the fuck? Why is he getting away with this?
Wouldn't you think
few and far between? But that, you know,
I would think some people in the music business would be saying something about it.
No, because he still makes records that people still want to buy. And musicians have always just, they just, nothing is applicable to him.
I understand.
It's not
that,
like he's employed by an NBC or by a Fox or something like that who can just cut him loose.
Yeah, but
like
granted, he's on all the platforms, getting spins on all the platforms, yeah, just
why,
like
why
R. Kelly
those,
was.
Why are those Spotify employees mad about that?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. There's other things on Spotify's platform, I think, that they could be a little more upset about.
It just makes all of it not feel real. When no one cares about something like this involving two stars, and the female star is someone who's very well beloved, and nobody gives a shit to say a word on her behalf? I mean, that's bullshit. It's really bad. I mean, why am I more interested in this than people that actually know her?
That is a question.
I mean, I don't know. Have you read about the story? Have you seen it? Because I see this and I go, this can't really be happening, can it? He's putting an album out.
What story?
Dissing this woman he shot in the feet and trying to get attention for himself. And this is, nobody's bothered by this? It just seems, it seems implausible.
I mean, there are, like I said, there are a few that have written about it, but no, you know, I don't think most people, I bet you a lot of people, especially people that don't listen to that kind of music, have never even heard of him.
Yeah, I think that's what the case is.
I sometimes listen to him. I don't know who he is.
There's
never heard
of
the guy.
There's a lot of people who listen to that music. That's why he's a star, and they don't say anything. Yeah, they do care about some things, but they don't care about this.
Yeah, because there's one thing humans do really well, and it's be hypocritical.
I don't know. That's a pretty big one.
Is TMZ talking about it?
Yes, but they are fairly pro Tory Lanez. I'm not joking. They say that, oh well, he's maintained his innocence and blah blah blah.
See, I find with a story like this, I find how TMZ attacks it to be the most interesting, because they don't want to lose any kind of relationship with either artist. So which way are they going to fall?
I got to tell you, they suggest that, it appears that he did shoot her, but he says he didn't, so we really don't know. I would say that's their way of looking at it.
Sure.
But I don't know. I guess I would just think that someone, it's sort of like, you know, when this R. Kelly thing just went on and on and on and on and on, and nobody cared. And then all of a sudden, everyone cared.
Yeah.
Because something was put out that made them look bad.
Yeah.
Because they had worked with him. And, you know, it's just funny seeing Tom Brennan.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America?
Look at Tom Brenneman groveling so desperately. Shouldn't he be the shock announcer who says, "Hey, fuck those fags"? He might as well take the Tory Lanez approach.
Who's going to hire him?
He's not going to get hired anyway.
Yeah. Well,
57 years old.
That's the problem. It's the demographic. Isn't it?
He's a well-liked announcer. I mean, honestly, I don't know how angry were people at Tom Brennan. Were they as angry as people are at Tory Lanez, or were they more angry? I don't know. I never got a feel for it.
That was definitely a bigger story when it happened. But once again, I think that's because there's audio of him saying it, and everybody saw it right away. And then his wonderful apology. If there was audio of Tory Lanez making her dance and shooting her feet, I think you'd probably hear more about it.
There is video of the arrest, though, of her walking around leaving splotches of blood every
That's
step.
New, though.
I mean, wouldn't you think some females would be talking on her behalf? Some of the female people in the business?
Sure. Like who?
Am I out of my fucking mind about this? I feel like I'm crazy.
I think the biggest thing, Drew, seriously, is just he's not famous enough.
Brandon,
no
he's
one
got
heard about him
he
until
has top
happened.
10 hits.
He's got three he number one
hits.
Albums. Yeah,
yeah he's a big star.
Exactly. I don't know who he is.
Well, I wouldn't buy his records because I don't, you know, I'm just not that kind of music lover.
Fun fact, did you know he's Canadian? He was born in Canada.
I did know that.
I did not know that. I'm
did
just
see what his real name was?
Yeah.
Daystar.
How can you have a name Daystar and change it to Tory?
Your real name is Daystar. Wow.
And, you know, honestly, it's not like this guy's been in a ton of trouble up to this point, but, I mean, it seems like he's actually kind of enjoying it. I mean, putting out this album, it just seems like, oh my God, really? Really? And that's what, that's why Ross is really ragging on him, is, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And then he comes right back at him and says, up and off for Breonna Taylor.
It happened.
That's what he said. No, 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 it happens.
Kind of cool to hear what Rick Ross is up to nowadays.
Yeah, he's disappeared.
He's been away.
Once he was outed as being a phony.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's apparently a phony Breonna Taylor supporter, too, according to Tory Lanez. Tory Lanez always gets the last word, so that'll stand. As we step into the fall, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep celebration event. And as you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook. If you like performance, they've got the, let's see, how about the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month, or the new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. If you want a truck, go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. If you want performance, pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. How about the 2020 Dodge Durango GT, $343 a month? And you know the game. No Zot Spot is complete without Jeep Wrangler. You want them, they've got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your specs. So get details. Surf their inventory at dealsnd.com. And Hall Financial wants you to know their mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. They've been there for a while now, and they keep going lower, lower, lower. I don't know how they can possibly go lower, though, so it's not a bad time at all to call 248-308-5000. It takes them an average of 19 days to finish a refi, and then low rates also mean value if you're on the market for that new home. Remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. They'll get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. Go to davidhallmortgage.com/drewandmike. Click the link on our site and fill out the online form, and they get back to you in a hurry. NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial. Do we have anything going on in the Hall Financial hotline today?
Not really, no. Mm-mm.
Okay. Tomorrow is a WATP Carl.
Yeah. Do you know what he's doing? What show?
You know, we were talking about a couple shows. One was Call Her Daddy.
Oh, okay. It's
extremely popular show. And the host, Alex Cooper, had Miley Cyrus on. Mm-hmm. Recently, so that was
fun. I bet
I listened to a little bit of it. It's very...
Does Alex Cooper interview people?
Yes,
typically. Okay,
I don't. I think it's sort of a new thing because she doesn't have a partner
host,
anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think she's
good at
it.
Is she good at interviewing people?
She's good at kissing Miley Cyrus's ass. Yeah. I'll say that. I thought it was. It was not directed at me. I'll say that up front.
Why? You haven't blown any guys recently? So.
No, it's just what...
I can't believe you answered that seriously.
What they find to be important is not... I'm not really interested in transformative things the way... Miley uses the word transformative quite a bit, I noticed.
Great.
And, you know, and being her true self and all those, you know, it's... These people are just self-actualizing before our very ears. It's beautiful. Mm. But that show, my understanding is that show is carried by teenage girls or who loves that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not really, we talked about this a little bit, didn't we? That I kind of thought it was guys that listened. Because
we knew it was girls. I didn't know they were teenage. That's kind of...
Yeah, I don't think people her age are necessarily... I mean, they might be interested, but I think it's more of a, I mean, she's got a mouth that you don't expect to hear on a podcast on a female.
Yeah.
And I guess that's, you know, to an edgy, maybe female teen, that's appealing.
Yeah.
Well. Daddy.
I would, have you listened to it?
I haven't.
I'd be curious to hear what you
think. Although I remember us listening to it together.
I mean,
so.
I think she's good at what she does. I just don't know. It's one of those things I think you could do for a while. I can't imagine doing it for a long, long time.
No.
Because she's not going. I mean, the first 10 minutes of the show, this wasn't the show with Miley Cyrus. The most recent show, the first 10 minutes, she's talking about her Instagram and the fact that her... Some guy she's seeing has an Instagram, but it's private. And so she can't follow his Instagram. So she doesn't know what's going on with him. It's like, well, you talk to him all the time. What do you mean you don't know what's going on with him? She doesn't know what's going on with his Instagram. And I mean, this goes on and on and on. And she sends, I think she said she sent a pussy pic to his Instagram and demanded a dick pic and then didn't get one and kept demanding it, and then turned out it wasn't his account.
This guy
blocked her, but I mean, she thought that was hilarious, and I'm thinking, well, you know, if that was a girl and it was a guy doing that, it wouldn't be so hilarious.
Can you imagine opening up your random, you know, like
social
media and someone's...
Yeah, I think it sounded like it was somebody who's probably...
We're also working under the assumption that it's a true story.
I don't think it is a true story.
Yeah, that too.
That's true.
Can he do... has he heard Logan Paul's new podcast? I would think that would be atrocious.
It's a new podcast?
I thought, doesn't he have
he's
a new podcast?
He's had one, Impulsive.
Has he done that one?
For quite a while. I don't know if he has. He might have. Ask him.
I think that one would be terrible. I always see, too, the two girls, Jenna Fisher and the other girl.
Yeah, that's Office Ladies.
That is extremely.
That's a Spotify original.
That is extremely popular. That's like the number two podcast. Is
it any good?
Office Ladies.
They're talking about The Office.
Yeah.
Really? And The Office, whether it's on Netflix or it's on a podcast, it seems to be gold.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I would, you know, it's funny when we were talking about Friends last week. And somebody was saying, I love Friends, and I don't understand what this obsession is about The Office. Well, frankly, I believe that The Office is much more relatable now than Friends, even though they're not that far apart.
It's a much better show, too.
I thought it was, too. But a lot of people love Friends. What can I say?
Hmm. Okay.
I'm surprised there isn't a Friends podcast.
He should.
Oh, I'm sure
David Schwimmer could find something to do.
He should do one on Inside the Boys, which is the podcast about the show The Boys. I just laugh at the name. They're like, check out the new podcast, Inside the Boys.
Oh.
That's what it's, well, they do it on purpose.
Michael Jackson would have loved that one.
Yeah. Okay, so there was other celebrity news, by the way, today. not just Tory Lanez and poor Tom Brenneman. Will someone hire him next year for a crummy three innings of radio or something?
No, unlikely. Maybe he can host the Bengals preseason games.
Bruce Springsteen is on the cover of Rolling Stone, and the song Ghosts came out last week. Have you heard any new Springsteen, Trudy?
No.
I thought Ghosts sounded like good E Street music.
It's
about Clarence and Danny Federici who have died, and they were on Bruce's mind.
There's that evil Max Weinberg drum.
Oh, that reminds me. We have some Brush with Celebrity stuff.
It definitely sounds like Bruce.
This was a great time in my life.
Being Bruce isn't easy.
That's kind of good. I like it.
Yeah, it's...
I'd rather sleep with Bruce.
I was in it a couple times, and I liked it more as I got to know it better. Moving through the night,
spirit filled with light. Definitely has that sound back.
Oh, it sounds very E Street. I heard about it and kind of forgot, and I've been getting a bunch of email about it. Like, hey man, you haven't talked about Bruce Springsteen, and I've heard
sounds
the two.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
I've heard two songs, and they both sound pretty good to me. Billie Eilish has a documentary. She's putting out a documentary about herself.
Oh,
isn't she 19?
What's to tell?
I don't know. She sounds like she has kind of a boring life, to be honest. She just hangs out with her brother.
Well, all the body shaming, too. I mean, that's at least a half hour's worth.
Is it?
Yeah, body shaming her huge tubes.
I guess people will watch a documentary about body shaming. I mean, I'm sure it'll probably do really well because she's hot as she can be. It's called The World's a Little Blurry, and I watched the trailer, and it's weird.
Is Phineas in it?
I think he might be in one clip. There's really not.
Probably
one.
He probably did the soundtrack.
There's not much in the way of clips. It was strange. I mean, if you want to play it, it's very strange. I didn't know what to make of it. And then this morning, Dax Shepard was on GMA.
Ooh.
Oh, well, they didn't know. They did a story about Dax Shepard and this whole thing about him blowing his sobriety, which, you know, it's just exactly what we were saying yesterday. I was thinking, I don't know why he's talking about this. I mean, it was like a brief thing, and he's been sober for 16 years, and oh, I see. He is building the podcast because that's all they talk about is Dax Shepard took to his podcast to talk about, and it's, you know, it's good promotion.
Mm-hmm. That did sound a little like, though, a pretty bad relapse, though. He got hurt, and he took painkillers and then was lying to get them, so...
He was buying them. He was lying about doing them, I think is what he was saying.
Right.
It's always bad, of course. I just figured somebody...
How do you get around that when you are... Like when Steven Tyler got injured and he was like, no, don't give me any painkillers because I'll just wig out. How do you get around that when you have pain but you're an addict?
Well, I think said that... Kristen was dispensing them.
Oh.
And then he wanted more, so he went out and bought some.
Ooh.
On the street.
I bet she was mad.
And then he started
drug dealers.
Buying them and doing them around the clock. And I think he had a couple months where he's pretty buzzed. But, my point yesterday was that he said, oh, God, Kristen's going to get asked about this every interview she does. And, you know, as he's talking about it on his podcast. But I guess that trumps the... The downside is that, and the upside is that he's on GMA for 3 minutes promoting his podcast, which he does really well. In fact, they mentioned that he made $7 million on it last year. So
I listen to it all the time. It's a good show.
People really like it. I mean, it's done great since the first day it came out, and it's still doing well. Who's he had on lately? Anybody interesting?
Let's see. Who's the last one I listened to? It would have been, holy crap.
Sounds pretty memorable so far.
He listened to Tom Brady. I listened to that one the other day.
Oh, really?
That one was a good
Tom
one.
Tom Brady was on?
Yeah, Tom Brady was a pretty good show. September 10th. Yeah.
I think he would be bore.
Had Seth MacFarlane on and Keith Urban as
one.
Well.
Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty good. That's really good. Noel Gallagher was on Lithium today talking about the 25th anniversary of What's the Story, Morning Glory.
Oh, wow.
And I just heard one clip of it. I can't wait to hear this thing. It's got to be available somewhere, right? I mean,
yeah.
I suppose. I'm sure Lithium will replay it. Anyway, he's talking about Champagne Supernova, and he has no idea what the song means. he wrote the song.
It's such a great song.
It is a great song, but I realized that I never pay attention. I really don't pay attention to lyrics. If I like the melody of a song...
That's funny, Drew. And I'm the same way, and it cracks me up because ML loves lyrics.
Well, once I sort of know them, or somebody trips me off to it, then I am. Oh yeah, that is an interesting song. And if I hear it enough, I might pay attention. But
to me, it just makes the song better. They're good lyrics.
Yeah,
but if the melody's good, and
I think frequently I don't know what the fuck the lyrics are.
Me either.
You know, I'm like the guy singing. When people have those crazy mistaken lyrics, I'm probably that guy.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I ate an egg at a hot dog stand instead of. What's that? Shit, I can't remember the name of the song.
There are Dude Looks Like a Lady, I think, was one that people used to screw up all the time.
Oh, it's about getting high. Huh.
Oh, like a Champagne Supernova. I mean, everybody knows what a supernova is, right?
Yeah,
I just think he didn't know what it was.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I thought it did, too. So anyway, I was listening to the reissue of What's the Story, Morning Glory. They had some cool demos on there. They had She's Electric.
Oh, another great
demo.
Song.
Oh, I love that song. And it's just him on acoustic playing it. There's a version of Oasis doing Come On, Feel the Noise.
Hmm.
Like, really?
Oh.
And Hey Now, which is another great song from that record. And there was a version of Noel playing acoustic and doing Hey, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
Huh.
The Beatles song?
Yep.
Really cool. I love the extras. And, you know, frequently the extras are just, whatever.
Oh, that's
just
cool.
Stuff that was never meant to be out anyway.
In other music news, you see Rob Halford has another book coming out?
I did not know that.
Do you want to hear a fun little excerpt from Rob Halford's new book called Confess?
Lead singer of Judas Priest.
He was recalling in the memoir how he hooked up with some Marines at Camp Pendleton in 1990.
Hot.
Oh.
He said, for a gay guy, Pendleton was Aladdin's cave. There were so many amazing male specimens there. Young, buff guys at the height of their physical powers.
Yeah.
Really?
And he said, with my thing for men in uniforms, my eyes were on the stalks. I don't know what that means exactly.
Out of his head, like in a cartoon.
Yeah. He said he had an affair with Hank, who then introduced him to another Marine at Pendleton named Steve. He was an ultra-masculine hunk as Hank, but his big thing was threesomes with his wife, Dawn.
Really?
Whoa. So Marines were allowed family visits, so I'd go along the same time she was there. Once the door was shut, we'd go at it for hours.
Oh.
I'd leave there more exhausted than if I'd been in a gym workout.
Well, who played with who?
I don't know. But after he finished, he said, you got another thing coming, and pointed the other guy's dick. I just made that up. It's pretty stupid.
Didn't he hook up with somebody in Manson's? Was that another part of his book? Or, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Interesting.
Anyways.
I don't know why this reminded me of it, but last night I was watching Shreds. God, I was laughing my ass
off.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. It's where people take, whoever this is really good at it. They take a video of, it could be the Rolling Stones, it could be Hall & Oates, and they just remove the audio and they redo the audio in the worst way possible. I mean, it is just horrendous. But I was laughing so hard. I could not stop laughing at some of them. They're so fucking funny.
I love how, you know, in a music video, it cuts from instrument to instrument. But usually in Shreds, though, the other instruments drop out when it cuts.
Yeah, it's like nobody's playing except the person on camera. And they're the worst player ever.
Here's Maneater. The crowd.
That's the guy on the keyboard.
Sax. The bass player. It's like just bad enough. You know, it's not terrible.
It requires great skill to play this badly, but not so badly you don't know what the song is.
Yeah. You tell the person doing it can play. This is Creed.
There's a Creed one. There's a great Creed one.
I love all the Creed ones.
What song is this supposed to be?
A thousand somethings, a thousand yas?
No, he calls it a thousand yes-yas because Scott Stapp says yes-ya. Yeah. I love these things. I can look at Shred videos all day long.
There's one of Eddie Van Halen playing a solo. It's just so awful. It's so bad.
Plus, these guys look so cool playing it. I know. So, to see Eddie looking so badass. You know,
that's the best part.
The guitar,
like,
and it's
the Stones,
terrible.
Mick Jagger, you know, leaping up in the air with no music in the background, clapping, and the clap is really loud.
I've never seen this.
Oh, GNR.
This,
I haven't seen this.
Look how cool he looked, slash looked playing. And we'll link all these videos in the notes.
I want to hear Axl sing. Axl's boogieing around like it's the coolest song ever.
And he looks so stupid when the real song's
ridiculous.
Not playing.
She's got a smile, it seems to me. Reminds me of childhood memories. Where everything as fresh as the bright blue sky.
I'm going to fast forward to the solo. This is a We Are the World Shreds.
Oh, yeah, We Are the World.
Really?
I was watching this last night.
No one's playing instruments on it.
Cyndi Lauper's supposed to be really good in this. I didn't get that far.
There was a man.
There's Cyndi.
Was
that's Lionel.
Talk when the world must come together as one.
Lionel and Stevie.
Just like me, yeah. Got a little fight in ya.
Kenny.
Have you ever? Yeah. Have you ever seen the bad lip syncing for the NFL?
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? They're pretty good. It's the NFL films, and so they just make up whatever they're saying.
Wait, I want to see here. Kim Carnes.
Yeah. I like the instrument shred videos better.
Earth, Wind & Fire, September, by the way. Fucking funny. Horns are so bad. What's the bad lip sync?
Brandon, you've seen those, right? Bad lip sync NFL ones.
Yeah, yeah. It's more visual than anything.
Yeah, because they're just making up what they're saying. It's all nonsensical, bad segue type stuff.
This is the horns.
You remember when it first night, November. Love is changing her mind, pretender, and I'm chasing the clouds away. Our hearts were ringing in a key of souls, singing as we dance in the night. Remember how the stars stole the night away.
So ridiculous.
It's really funny.
I love how loud the claps are.
Yeah.
With all that music.
It's whatever's on the screen.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. All right. Let's see. What else? A couple more entertainment things. I guess is entertainment. Meghan and Harry are going to do a reality show for Netflix. That's going to be their first project, a fly on the wall.
Yay.
With them focusing on their philanthropy. That is going to be fantastic, seeing how wonderful they are all the time.
No one's going to want to watch that.
Why would anyone want to see them doing philanthropic things?
We'd only watch if we see them yelling at each other and her throwing a lamp at him or something.
You know it's going to be all about her.
Yeah, oh, it will be mainly her.
By the way, should you do a show that focuses on you giving all the time? Aren't you supposed to give because you want to give, not because you want a show about it?
Well, it only counts if people know, right?
I guess in her world, and she's talking about running for president now. Did you see that day before yesterday?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, Meghan would like to run for president of the United States. So we have that to look forward to. Gwyneth Paltrow celebrates turning 48 by putting out a nude picture. What else? She looked pretty good.
She looked great.
He did.
Yeah, really good.
Must be all those vagina eggs.
And then the new book about the hawk.
Oh, shit.
See the new hawk book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a brand new book,
What else can be said about that guy, man?
There was a lot, actually.
Really? I feel like we know all about him. I mean, we know he loves gyration. What else do we need to know?
Well, they got sort of...
Hell yeah.
How much he loves socializing and going to parties, which I assume is potential for gyration always.
Well, how old was he when he really started losing muscle control?
20s, yeah.
Was he a swinger?
He was, they said, real. He got around, though.
Yeah. You know what they said is that he loved Star Trek?
And
that
fucked.
And then he appeared as a hologram of himself on Star Trek? I'm not a big Trekkie, so I didn't know that.
I had no idea. What a shock that he likes Star Trek.
I know.
Be a little more predictable, no, Hawk.
That's a pretty famous scene with Hawk. He's what?
In the TV
show? He's
doing
something with Data.
Was it in the show? The TV show?
Yeah, I remember seeing it. Yeah,
really?
It's like having... Yeah, I want to say that Data has like these holograms.
That doesn't, yeah, that wouldn't be the original Star Trek then. That'd be
no, that's...
the new gang.
Oh, new to him.
The next generation.
But then I said, in that frame of reference, the perihelion of Mercury would have processed in the opposite direction.
What a dork.
That is a great story.
Quite amusing, Dr. Hawking.
Go outside, sir. Get out.
The joke depends on an understanding of the relativistic curvature of space-time. If two non-inertial reference frames are in relative motion...
Do not patronize me,
sir. Is that the lion from The Wizard of Oz?
No.
What great acting,
I
want to
say
Hawk.
That... Yeah, that's Isaac Newton.
There was something about how Hawk was late for everything.
Oh, yeah, Hawk time.
This sounds very nerdy.
And that he never apologized for it. He was just constantly late. And
it's Hawk time.
Did he blame, like, low power on his battery?
No, he didn't apologize. He said nothing about it.
What? Bitches wait for me.
That's weird that his book was about time then, since he was timeless.
How selfish.
And he loved fireworks. He'd set up these huge displays or get them set up, and then the cops would show up, and then as soon as the cops left, he said they would just start blowing them off again. He just
hates police.
Stopping him.
He hates police.
And then... He was married to Jane for 20 years. Then he fell in love with his nurse, which, you know, I mean, that's an old story. But the nurse was Elaine. And
I banged my nurse.
Yeah, and Elaine left her husband for Hawk.
God.
Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm.
Then he fell for a different chick in his 60s. He fell in love with Diana. And by the way, the sex came up, and it's like, oh, yeah, he loved sex.
You know what they say, unlike Hawk.
How could that be the only thing on his body that worked?
I know. And
he put all his mental focus into it.
He had kids with the first wife, and then with Diana, he said he didn't marry her due to the kids, but it sounded like he just didn't want to be committed at that point.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, he wanted to go to the strip clubs then. And...
Yeah, I mean, gyration.
I dropped loads in everyone.
Well, it's always, I mean, in the end, it is the scientific part.
So much ass.
So, yeah, that was, I guess it wasn't that much new. It didn't focus as much on the gyration, though, and the chicks. But it sure sounded like he had a lot of fun with chicks. I mean, chicks were a big part of his life.
What a creep.
Yeah, you know, he gets away, because he's in the chair, don't you think he gets away with a lot more?
He's in the chair?
Well.
I know what you meant.
I mean. You know, he's going to that weird strip place or swinger place, and he goes...
Oh, that's right. He was a swinger.
Yeah, he goes...
Hot wheels.
Yeah, he gets on his hot wheels and goes wailing into that place, and there's some place in the back where apparently people can just gyrate. Multiple chicks would gyrate around
him. My chair kicked ass.
Didn't he...
Someone needs to write about all the skanks I banged.
I mean, he went to Sex Island, too. Was Epstein.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So. They had that special submarine built for him.
You don't suppose Hawk got underage chicks?
I think anything's possible.
Like everybody else did.
I only banged legal chicks.
I'm glad to hear that. And there were legal chicks on Orgy Island. Orgy Island.
Yeah, that's right.
Brian, I am glad you could come to my faculty cocktail party. Let me introduce my wife, Helen.
Damn it, Steve, you forgot to put out the cheese and crackers.
Helen, don't start with me in front of our guests.
He rams her with the chair.
Do you think I like hitting you? I am sorry you had to see that.
Fake news.
The way Family Guy dealt with him is really fucking great.
That's his only Family Guy appearance?
Oh, no. He was on a bunch
I didn't know he was on multiple Family Guy appearances.
Yeah, no. Let's see if I can find
Did Hawk one. Not approve of that, Hawk?
Here's one.
Just some idiot streaking across the field.
You are all looking at my penis. You didn't plan on it, but it's happening.
I'm streaking to high school.
The first directly observable instance of
a black hole
appears to be located just outside our solar system. Trisha Takanawa has the story.
Tom, I'm standing here with Stephen Hawking, the first white man I've ever met who knows math better than me. Mr. Hawking, what does the discovery of this black hole mean to you and your research?
I am overjoyed. This is the crowning achievement of my career. It validates the work of a lifetime.
It certainly does. Back to you, Tom.
All right, we're clear.
I'm telling you, man, this shtick is getting so old. That chair smells, dude.
Hey, Steve, surf's up!
All right, see ya, bitch.
By the way, that sex with Trish Takanak.
A little boozakalakalakalaka. Boozakalakalakalaka. Boozakalakalakalaka.
Playing basketball like NBA champs.
So why would you be a good candidate on The Bachelorette?
I would be perfect for your show because I know how to talk dirty to the ladies. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That feels so good. Spit in my mouth. Ah, Ryan, I am...
Oh, my God.
I would bang all the chicks, too.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh, yeah. The Bachelor. Love to see the Hawk in The Bachelor. Wouldn't that have been cool?
Or 90 Day.
90 Day, yeah. I could. That would make a lot more sense, actually, 90 Day. Somebody just wants to get in the country using Hawk. But then Hawk would turn around and use them.
I almost released a sex tape.
How
but
cool
I
is
died.
What happened?
He died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Damn it.
That reminds me, last night they had 2020 had a special on the go-to girls. Mm. Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, and who's the Holy Trinity?
Would it be Lohan? Would it be Kardashian?
Oh, probably Kardashian, because I didn't get that far into it, but it was actually fun to review it. And it led to an interesting thought, and that is, what is up with Britney Spears? Why is she not entitled to blow all her money out her ass like any adult?
Well, what do you mean? Why is she not allowed
to? Well, I mean,
to?
Why? How bad can it be that
terrible.
She has to have a conservator at age 38?
She's an idiot.
But she can't, I mean, isn't she entitled to blow her own money and just do whatever?
Aren't there too many people who depend on her for that? That
like
she's
children?
There. Yeah. Well,
they're 15, 14.
I think her whole family, though, is involved in the business of Britney, aren't they?
Yeah, but she is. She doesn't owe them anything. I mean, her kids is one thing, but I mean, look at all the half-ass adults out there controlling their pathetic lives, and she can't be given control of her life for five minutes.
She still has a great ass.
Well, she originally, they took over from her because remember she had that total like mental breakdown.
I remember.
She's probably nuts, Drew.
She could
the problem
not.
Is if you get the conservator, you can't. It's so hard to overturn. That's the problem.
I understand that she could not be left alone with her kids.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal. But I mean, it just got me thinking, oh my God, how bad can she be? How clueless is she? I mean, is her IQ like 50 or something? I mean, what's
probably.
Going on there?
Probably.
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
Because you watch her talk, they had clips of the TV show Chaotic.
Yeah, just phenomenal.
She says idiotic things, but she expresses herself to some degree. I mean, she doesn't seem like a complete idiot.
No, she wrote all those great songs.
Did she really write them?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, but she didn't have the wherewithal to dance and do interviews and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, she can do the same dance thing over and over again.
And then she went crazy. I think the fear is she would probably spend all the money on, like, candles and incense, well, and then the kids will be drinking Mountain Dew like they were in Chaotic.
Well, they're not under her roof. Kevin Federline has the kids.
True. I don't know. Are you joining the Free Britney movement?
No, I just don't understand how out of it can she be. I mean, I'm fascinated by it because I'm not even really saying that Free Britney. I'm just saying how fucking out of it can she be that she cannot be trusted? She has $1 zillion, so I mean, surely she can support herself.
She just does two impulsive things, though. You know, I mean, and.
But a lot of adults do stupid, impulsive things. I mean, it just seems that it's
a lot
just
of money that no one wants to see her waste because they won't get it then.
I don't even think she wants out from underneath it. I mean, she's living a pretty good life right now.
It sounds like she does now. She wants out from underneath it. And her sister, Jamie Lynn, is helping her.
Yeah, right. Great. Wait, didn't Jamie Lynn kill somebody?
No, she almost killed her child. She, didn't she have like a four-year-old on an ATV, and he turned upside down?
That's water. Louisiana. They put four-year-olds on ATVs.
Yes. Hey, it happens. You know how many times I crash a three-wheeler in my day?
Sure. My brothers ran over me.
Shouldn't there be a conservatorship for somebody who puts a five-year-old on an ATV?
Yeah,
sure, probably. Absolutely. So you're saying her sister needs one then?
Brittany, from what I understand, Brittany doesn't. She didn't talk to her mother for like 10 years, and now her mother's back in there trying to get her out of the conservatorship because that's probably her way to get on Brittany's good side. Maybe. Yeah,
good point.
Anyway, okay. Well, our crazy friends at Zod, Ford, and Holly, dealsandindy.com, are at it again. It's truck month, and that means it's the best time to take advantage this year of the most incredible savings on all Ford trucks, like the number one selling truck in America, 42 straight years, the legendary Ford F-150, and you can't ignore the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford, lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166. Or you can see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Gabar and the gang at Zot still have Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Dr. Yaldo's back, and he's offering $1,500 off if you want to come in for LASIK and lose the contacts and glasses, or if you want multifocal lens implants or lens replacement. What you have is seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. You can lose the reading glasses, contacts. You should make up all the money eventually if you get that soon enough. And then, of course, you want to call 1-800-398-EYES to set up a consultation or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount, $1,500, or if you get someone else who goes in and they get something done, you can get an additional half off your surgery. So you can damn near pay for this thing in no time. Dr. Yaldo, YaldoEyeCenter.com. And Adam, if you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men like you, just like you, protect your rights and get fair treatment in the court system. Don't take a chance with the future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. 248-356-ADAM. We had the Lions won a football game. Wow. And we haven't even talked about it yet.
An exciting end.
Field goal, yeah. Well, yeah. I thought they were going to lose this game. Man, I really thought they were going to give it away. But, you know, Matt Stafford can do this.
He said it was Kyler Murray who decided to give the game away.
Yeah, he really did. Three interceptions. Yeah. Should have had four or five, maybe. Yeah,
made other bad decisions.
Really bad decisions. Yeah. Really bad
Matt
decisions.
Patricia's great defense scheme.
How many? They might know how many yards the Lions gave up because their defense was just
terrible.
They were acting like, oh, my God, look what the defense did.
Bend, don't break. That's the Patriot way.
That was the headline, the Patriot way finally gets it done.
Sean Windsor.
Cardinals had 377 total yards. So.
God, I thought it was more than that. Yeah. What was the Patriot way Sean was referring to?
Let me pull it up. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't a bad column. I didn't think. I just don't believe
they did what they had to do.
Yeah, I mean, they won.
Yeah.
But the headline is the Lions Patriot way finally saved a game and maybe the season, which I do think there's a lot of truth to that because they lose this one, then they lose the Saints, and then they're 0-4 and all hell, you know, breaks loose, the wheels come off. Oh, a lot of it's about the safety who made the one interception who was on the Patriots, Daron Harmon.
Oh,
and okay. how they handled last week and how he felt like the team lost focus. And so he was really hard on everybody in practice and blah, blah, blah during the game. So it's basically getting the guys, getting the guys to play, to earn their paycheck. And to not lose focus and to be, you know, intent.
I didn't know that was that much to ask of, I think it was their job, but
he said Harmon thought the team lost focus and intensity for too many stretches during the first two games. Patricia said the same thing, but hearing that from teammates is often more effective than hearing it from the coach, which I would suppose is true. So okay. I don't know. Maybe it turned the corner.
Yeah.
you don't seem to believe it.
Well, I you know, when you say stuff like save the season, I just get a little skeptical. I mean, they. Should they technically be about 1-2 right now? if they were playing normal,
probably
they beat the Bears in the opener.
Probably.
I guess. I don't know. Phoenix seems like a team they should beat.
But look at the Bears. I mean, maybe the Bears are better than we ever thought. Of course, they got lucky.
The Saints have lost
Big Dick Nick, man.
The Saints, Big Dick Nick is going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints lost again.
Yeah.
So they got two losses.
To Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they can beat the Saints. I don't know. I just can't get too
up. But then after that, they go to Jacksonville, they go to Atlanta, and then Indianapolis at home. Those are fairly winnable games.
No, they'll lose two of those three.
You think so?
I think they'll lose at least a couple of the next four games.
I mean, Atlanta's taking a page right out of the Lions book from last year. Get a lead and then blow it.
Wait, that's the last year?
Yeah,
I thought that was this year, too.
The first game this year.
Yeah, I'm just not going to get excited about the Lions. You know, if it was a nice win.
I'm not saying to get excited about them, but 1-2 is a lot better than 0-3.
It is. I just don't expect a whole lot more out of them. I mean, if they win 7 games, I would go, hey, that's better than I thought. Or if they win 8 games.
Just remember, though, 9-7 wasn't acceptable. So
I know. Well, it's hard to get past that, this idea that they have rebuilt a team that didn't need rebuilding, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm.
But you guys are missing out on the biggest story of the Lions. This is
what?
Sheila Ford Hamp's first win.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Did they give her a game ball?
Did they really make a big deal out of that?
Matt Patricia did after the game. He congratulated her on her first win as owner.
Oh, nice technique.
Well, he knows who signs her Ziz checks, right?
Hey, he called her Sheila, too.
Ooh, not Ms. Ford Hamp.
Nope.
I see that the 49ers got in a little trouble because Katie run it again, Sowers. Did you hear about this story?
Yes.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Coach Katie Sowers' twin sister, Liz, posted on Instagram that Katie...
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
...was forced to sit in coach while every other coach was in first class.
Ooh, prove it.
So this is how we get our way, by posting, having our twin sister post something on Instagram.
Maybe she likes sitting in coach. Who knows?
I don't think so.
She's with the people.
She obviously bitched her twin sister about it.
I don't know, It happens.
I mean, it seems like the sort of thing that happens when you let women in football. You get some twin sister posting.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Just saying.
Do we really know that all the other coaches were sitting in first class?
No, I don't think. I don't know.
Do we really know that this isn't some kind of like hazing for the new coach?
There's an asterisk, though.
What?
She's the only full-time coach. So whatever that means. So there was probably a bunch of other coaches who aren't considered full-time who weren't able to sit in first class either.
I see. Well, hopefully they can mollify her twin sister somehow.
Who did they beat?
Giants.
The Giants.
They play the Giants.
Is that the game where this was a game? This is funny. It went in one ear out the other. There was a game that had a female ref and two teams.
Yeah,
each had
I saw
a female
that.
Coach. Is that the one that she was involved in, or is that a different one?
Yeah, that is the one she was involved in,
okay,
I think.
Because so
there was another coach who's the chief of staff of some team.
Yeah. So
let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Did that woman have to ride fly coach?
Well, she
Do we have an investigative
she been
report?
At home.
What?
Wouldn't she have been at home? Because she was the other team's coach.
Maybe they took a bus over from the hotel. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she had to sit in the back of the bus. I don't know. So hopefully she has a twin sister who can point it out.
I'm sure she's been on a flight this year. Find that manifest. Let's see it. Let's do it.
This business, by the way, of posting on social media when you're mad at your boss for something.
Well, she didn't post it. I would be livid at my sibling. If my brother posted something about you, Drew, I'd be so mad.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
There were some college players posting things on Twitter because their coaches did things they didn't like.
Yeah, that happens. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's just such a...
It's a little different. They're not paid.
Horrifying thing. Social media. Oh my God, it's so terrible.
I was just thinking, if I was Kyle Shanahan, I would make her sit in the very, row one, seat A, and take a picture and then put it out on Instagram next to
and make her sit first. That way everybody who walks in has to watch and look at her.
Right? And I would do it, honestly, every game I would make her sit in that seat. Every game where they have to fly.
Basically, she just got to do it again and do it again.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
It's so stupid. As if Katie Sowers isn't facing enough other things. Now she has to deal with this bullshit.
Oh, boy. Well, I wonder, they probably get a lot of requests to interview her. And yeah. Do you suppose players get asked about her a lot?
Yeah,
has there been a piece done on her? Because I'd love to see what the players say. Players are usually, athletes. Once something is established, like female reporters, they're usually pretty cool about it. No, they don't really care. I think they respect somebody for doing their job.
She's an offensive assistant, so who knows what she's really doing anyway? And what I mean by that, she's not really coaching a position, so it could just be being in a lot of meetings, breaking down film. Setting up game plan type stuff.
Did she coach somewhere else first?
I think she wasn't she their intern?
But I mean, did she coach at a college or something?
Oh, I don't think so. No? Oh. That's not weird. That's not that unusual.
Do you take coaching as a field of study?
Myself personally?
No. When you want to be a coach, is there a class?
It's not really how coaches are made. Coaches usually come from the sport itself, like somebody retires. Or somebody plays college, but they have a coaching mind, so they seek to.
Matt Patricia have.
He played college. He did.
But yeah, small school. Yeah.
Was it Renaissance?
Yeah, I know.
Whatever that school is.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
He was supposedly really good in that league, but I don't know what that.
So Sowers did play football, by the way.
Oh,
she began her career playing for the West Michigan Mayhem.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Are we all familiar with the West Michigan Mayhem who played out of Kalamazoo? No.
I'm sure they were really good.
Then she played for the Kansas City Titans. Then she was.
What position did she play?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Don't they have her stats and stuff?
Was this the lingerie league or
Brandon?
I was only asking because I didn't know that there was an actual football league where they were all padded up.
The Women's Football Alliance, whatever that is. The Alliance, the WFA.
Hey, it's football is football. It translates.
She played in the WFA until her retirement in 2016 due to a hip injury. That's when she became a training camp assistant for the Falcons.
Oh.
Then she became a seasonal offensive assistant for the 49ers and is now a full-time offensive assistant.
Oh, good for her.
Wow. Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
Breaking news with Mort Grimm.
Shocking news to report here.
Okay.
It's Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are denying the report that they're going to star in their own reality show for Netflix. They are too good for a reality show. They are denying it.
I see. Okay.
Wow.
That's very important. We got that right.
I bet you they will do it when all the other shows they do for Netflix fails. That'll be their Hail Mary.
Yeah. Are they denying that she wants to run for president?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was a couple days ago.
I just didn't see that she denied that.
She's not going to deny it.
And assumed no freaking way. This is because it was one of those type of stories that was put out there by a close personal friend. But you have to remember, she in the past has called paparazzi on herself, and she's also communicated with tabloids through quote unquote close personal friends.
Mm-hmm.
Another entertainment news. Do you know a big movie is being filmed in Detroit right now? Production just started? Yeah.
What movie?
A Steven Soderbergh movie called No Sudden Move.
I had no idea.
About small-time crooks in 1955 Detroit whose robbery assignment goes awry.
Hmm.
In the race-torn, rapidly changing city of Detroit.
There's some big names in there.
Don Cheadle, Benicio Del Toro.
Oh, cool.
David Harbour. Oh, yeah. Trudy, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Sitting down. Do you have room in your pants? John Hamm will be in town.
Oh, you're going to have to flip this cushion.
Ray Liotta.
Ooh, hot.
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin.
Bill Duke, whoever the fuck that is. And Brendan Fraser.
What?
Oh, we finally found Brendan Fraser.
Somebody finally hired him?
I just want to see him clap.
He's back.
Has there been enough time since the clap?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just a key grip on the movie or something.
Sure, he suffered enough.
What if he is? He's just help on the movie. He's a gaffer. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if all these people will be in Detroit or who's filming.
Oh my God! I can't wait. I might have to sniff around down there
for John Hamm.
Yeah,
but that'll be. I mean, maybe more listeners will have run-ins with celebrities.
Yeah.
Just call him the hamster.
That's right. We got
the hamster.
The hamster. What a great nickname for John Hamm. The hamster.
Brand, you sent me the Brush with Celebrities thing, didn't you? Today?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We got a feedback from Philip. He was answering some of the questions from his email.
And we got two others.
There's Philip. Oh, I only got Philip.
Forward it to you again.
Oh, jeez.
No, I think I got it right here. Hold on. Brush with Celebrities. Richard Simmons, Marilyn Manson. No, that's yesterday. Let's see, today, celebrity run-in, multiple celebrity run-ins.
Thanks for sending it to me.
Yeah, this is new.
Do you feel left out?
Kind of.
Larry Spurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, multiple celebrity run-ins. One, are these different people sending these, or is the same guy? No, it's this.
Yeah,
the first
one is from Dominic.
Right. Dom said he ran into, he was working at the bag room at a golf course in Florida. This resort course would hold celebrity golf outings. The tournament would be a shotgun start, which ended up having all the carts come in at once. We clean the clubs of all the competitors. They would tip anything from $2 to $20 for the wipe down. Larry Bird pulled up. I started washing his clubs. He said to me, "Is this all taken care of, a friend of the tip?" I said, "No, I don't think so." Trying to be polite, he walked away toward the clubhouse. Ooh, no tip and pippin can be applied to Bird as well. Another time,
Larry Legend, not tipping. Wow.
Another time at the same establishment.
Zip it, Larry Bird.
This would have been around 2003. I was hitting balls on the range. Another employee came and hit next to me and said, "Hey, man, I guess you just showed up to play golf." It was the juice.
What?
Yep, OJ was here. I put my shirt in the cart, was going to go ahead to the car to run to the store to buy a football to get his autograph. Drove up in the cart, and he quit early because his knees were bothering him, so no time for a football. But I had a disposable camera on my bag and asked for a pic. Juice said yes. A guy he was with took a couple pics and tried to cut me out of the pic. He didn't do a good enough job, so I got the pick with Juice. Ended up using it as my Christmas card to friends and family. Some people were pissed about the card.
Even better. That's great.
Don't his knees seem to have gotten better over time? Like, prison was good for his knees?
Well, remember he couldn't pick up the kid at the recital, according to the murder trial. It was like, ugh!
Huh.
I work at a production company, put on events for...
Hey, Twitter world. It's me, yours truly. Well, a few takes from yesterday. First, Buffalo, don't do that to me, man. I'm an older guy now. You know, you had my heart pumping there yesterday.
I might have to kill
You're supposed
somebody.
To be a defensive team. Can't let guys come back on you like that. Josh Allen, you are a certified stud, buddy. San Francisco.
Does anybody care what his take is on the NFL? Yeah.
No. No, absolutely not.
He must think people.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's got a lot of followers.
Mm. I'm just saying.
Anyway, they had two events for the Buick dealership owners, one for all the dealership owners to attend, and then a smaller one for the top sellers. Most of it was a party with golfing, sightseeing, but they did have speakers and entertainment at night. I was mainly a celeb wrangler when they arrived, and here are my experiences. Carl Reiner, incredibly nice, didn't matter who he ran into. He always had the time to talk. I was in the green room sitting by the doors. Carl and I believe his agent were chatting it up, picking at food from the buffet table. Carl looked over and said, "Get over here and enjoy some of this food." At first I said no thanks, but he would not take no for an answer. I grabbed a muffin, tried to eat as fast as I could, but all I was thinking of was my boss walking in. I was sitting with the talent.
Yeah.
They were both incredibly nice.
Carl, good to see you.
And quickly brought me into conversation about where I was from, family, etc. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I would think he would be a good guy.
Oh, man, I would love to have met
him. Absolutely. Yeah. Flo-Jo.
Ooh, wow.
The brief time I spent with her, she was very nice and hot. She had an incredible ass. I sat with her husband, Al, at the back of the room as she spoke to the crowd. He was great to talk to as well. We bullshitted about sports. At the end, I walked them out. In the time they decided to have dinner at one of the restaurants in the hotel, Al was very generous, asked if I wanted to come, but I was still on the clock and declined. Wow. Oh, threesome? Three-way?
I was just going to say, it sounds like almost a proposition.
Yep, I see a three-way for sure.
Man, could you be in a three-way with Al Joyner and Flo-Jo?
No way.
No, man, they're too fit.
Vince Gill...
Vince Gill.
I finished up my day as the band was prepping to perform. I had a buddy who lived in the area, hadn't seen him since high school, so we went out bar hopping. As we were getting wasted, I mentioned him. I knew where we can get free food and booze. Thinking the concert was over, we'd go in the green room and just veg. My buddy and I opened the door. The whole band just looked at us. I very quickly described my job role and why I was there. Though they believed me, they knew we were there for the free food. They invited us in. We partied with them most of the night. Whoa, what?
Cool.
Sheryl Crow, we met in the green room before her performance. She had about a dozen assistants working on her. She seemed kind of annoyed with being me being there wasn't too happy with the food and drink selection we provided her. Oh, she was fairly nice. It just seemed like it was a chore to be there. Larry King.
Ooh.
I didn't have much interaction, but I was directed to go to his hotel room to have him sign copies of his book, How to Talk to Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere. I knocked on the door, and Sean, that's his wife, answered.
Good question.
She was super nice and smoking. Larry was on the couch reading the paper, immediately was wondering why he had to sign copies of his book.
No, Larry.
Did you see the story about Sean?
What's happened to her since Larry dumped her?
How much money she wants in spousal support?
No.
Which, aren't their kids all older?
Yes.
Yeah. She wants $33,000 a month. Are you surprised by that?
Does Larry even make money now?
She claims Larry makes $1.9 million from infomercials alone.
And then of course, I believe that.
Then of course, remember, he just got that big podcast deal, which is probably why she's...
Why would he get a podcast deal?
Because I can talk to anybody and everybody.
It's his son's, really. And his son pretty much does the work, and Larry's name is attached to it.
Oh, what bullshit.
I forgot about it. They just made $4 million on the sale of their home, too. So she wants some.
I have to tell you, podcasting is kind of fascinating because, you know, there are those people like Jenna Fisher and Justin Bateman. Jason Bateman, who are, you know, just, you know, they're funny enough to pull it off and probably do a really good job. And because of their fame combined with the kind of people they are. But then you get those people who do podcasts where, and I've looked a lot of them up, you know, anywhere from Alyssa Milano, whose podcast is just horrible.
Al Franken.
It is so bad. Al Franken. Trudy, you mentioned Al Franken.
Oh, my God.
What's up with his podcast?
It's just really bad for a person who's been in entertainment his entire life. You'd think he could carry out some sort of, you know, catchy conversation. And he was with Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, you can't get a better interview than that.
That's terrible. Why would he be bad with Jimmy? I mean, that's horrendous.
He doesn't listen, I think. It's that sort of thing where you don't listen to...
Oh, he's too important to listen to Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, he just doesn't, I don't know, relate to anything, I think.
He might think what he has to say is far more important than anyone else.
Here's my Larry King question. So the news breaks that he's going to be getting $5 million for this podcast with his kid.
Oh, boy.
That broke May 22nd. Why haven't they started yet?
Well, he's going to die at some point.
Why? I mean, it doesn't take that long to get it up. Especially if you announce the deal, you think you'd hit the ground as quickly as you can and get everything rolling.
Well, anyway, because I'm looking, Carl, you know, is always looking at podcasts, and I'm looking at podcasts because I like listening to them. And also, you know, for Carl to get into, I'm always trying to throw stuff his way. So I'm looking at some last night, and I was looking up celebrity podcasts because it's always fun to hear, you know, who can and who can't do it. And Ashley Graham's name kept coming up. Like, oh, Ashley, I don't want to really hear it. So anyway, I just said, oh, whatever, I'll go listen to one. So first of all, I look at it and I see that executive producer is Scooter Braun.
Uh-oh.
Scooter Braun is executive producing her podcast? Scooter Braun, really? And then there's other producers. There's like seven other producers. There's probably 10, maybe, no, I'd say there's 12 to 14 people who get credits for this podcast.
Hmm. So it must be great, right?
No, it's not. It's very bad. For one thing, one of her guests is her husband.
Oh, God.
Which is so fucking annoying. And then Scooter Braun is her guest once, too.
Oh.
And it's just very inside. It's mostly about her pregnancy because she's pregnant during a lot of these episodes. She's talking about her pregnancy constantly. And it's like, me, 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 me. She has a really annoying laugh. And after a while, I'm going, I realize that she's on the cover of every magazine and she's about as famous as you could be right now. But who could listen to this? So I looked it up. It does not rank in any of the categories that are significant.
No,
like
really?
The comedy category or the news category or the entertainment category. Nothing. She shows up they have her in a bunch of categories where you can easily show up, like society and culture is a category very few people even enter. Uh-huh. So she seems to come up in that category in certain countries, but nothing in the major categories. So that tells me that very few people listen to it, like Alyssa Milano.
Oof.
Yeah, she's getting tons of cash for it, too. It's crazy.
Well, that's the part that pissed me off. It's like, oh, my God, they've got these huge national advertisers on this show. Oh, it's Ashley Graham. And no one fucking listens to it. I mean, that's... I guess that's a problem with a new industry, is that people just don't know enough to say, hey, why am I paying for this? Why would, first of all, why would anyone pay for her podcast before it has numbers?
Yeah.
That's probably what happens. Like Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe had a ton of advertisers, but because he's Rob Lowe, he does still have audience.
They're part of a
but the industry, my friends, that was a revolution.
But, you know, they're part of a network, too. Did you know Larry and Sean King did a podcast together, did 88 episodes back in 2016? Oh,
Jesus. I had no idea.
Do you want, would you like? I mean, I haven't heard it. Should I play a piece of it?
Yeah, why not?
You want to hear them with George Foreman? Because, you know, in the middle, in the summer of 2016, everybody was talking about George Foreman.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole list. That's the only name on here I recognize other than Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters.
Brother.
Here, let's do the Ernie Hudson one. If
he would used to get gigantic guests on CNN.
Let's see here.
Ernie Hudson's entertaining. He's in a lot of stuff.
Answers matter more than ever before.
Oh, it's inspirational.
That's why IBM is helping
business. Oh, my gosh. They still have an ad on here.
Well, it's Larry King. He probably had big advertisers, too.
No, but you interrupted me. I just forgot.
Oh, we get to hear him bicker.
That was how it starts. It's been a minute.
Well, for fans of the Kings, and I know how Mrs. King hates to talk about scheduling, but I know our fans are interested. All fans are interested in what people who are known by the public do.
Ridiculous. Larry doesn't have enough power to say, honey, I'll do this one. Get off the fucking phone.
They're worried about.
But they love to hear schedules of people who are in
Bob Page a focus, right, and a microphone.
In the celeb kind of column.
Don't you love people who tell you what people love to hear?
Why is there a People magazine?
Okay, you want to know what my schedule is right this second?
Not really.
Well, it's July 15th. What is your schedule?
No, well,
who are you?
I'm standing.
You have to change
the
my
phone
diaper.
Is sitting on an ironing board. I've just finished ironing sheets.
They're married.
And I'm getting ready to go to the airport. But I have three. I have to picture this: no makeup, three brushes in the top of my head.
Why do you
give it
always
a little lift?
Why do you always play it so close?
I think you're really ugly.
Why is
because
that?
I have a lot to do. I've been on the phone all morning, business, and then I
what
have a great
business. Is Sean King?
Then why should she need $33,000 a month from him? He's like 900 years old, and she needs all his money to get by, and she's in all this business.
Oh, God.
Bullshit.
No, Larry.
Her career as a singer.
Well, okay, let me finish Larry King. So Larry doesn't know why he's signing these books. Sean reminds him that, yes, he did agree to do this, and he started in. She left the room, so I was alone with Larry, standing awkwardly while he signed. He looked up and asked me to help him, feeding him the books to make it go a little faster. He wasn't so bad, just wanted to get this done as fast as possible. Jay Leno, he shows up to the hotel in an older Trans Am, likely smoking the Bandit. He was kind of disheveled, didn't speak much. In the green room, it seemed like he was looking over his watch, wanting to get it over with. Dennis Miller, for the most part, he was quite nice, but whenever I spoke to him, he looked like the Tom Cruise drop. What in the hell are you talking about? When one of our very attractive assistants came in, all of a sudden, he pepped up and started chatting her up and giving her the dumbest lines. Her and I spoke afterwards. She said she had no idea what he was talking about.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Okay.
And we did get the response from Phil, and I also actually have some celebrity run-ins on the boner line.
Okay. Phil said, just to follow up to answer your questions, Max Weinberg didn't have me move his whole house. Like, he wasn't changing residences. He's moving a bunch of memorabilia from his house to a storage outbuilding. So it's like 5 or 6 hours of hauling huge boxes, instruments, etc., from his house to this building way down the driveway and then up the stairs of that building. Oh, God.
Five or six hours?
I think I'd rather move his house.
Funny addendum, we were carrying these huge long sheets of marble or granite out of that building to make room for the memorabilia. At one point, Max apparently couldn't set these things onto the floor at the same pace and rhythm as me and got his finger pinched underneath one of them.
Oh, that's his drumming finger.
In his defense, they were pretty heavy and awkward to handle. Loudest yell, fuck!
How could he not laugh when that happens? Wouldn't you laugh?
He went up to his house for like 20 minutes, came back with a big bandage. You could tell he directly blamed me. That week, I mentioned what happened to the producers. They were all hysterically laughing. I was then paranoid it would get back that I was making fun of him. By the way, Jimmy Vivino, who was the boss when Max had gone on tour with Bruce, was the best. One of the best session guitarists in the world, and in the Fab Four, which is regarded as the best Beatle tribute band. I actually am a Bowie fan. He is acting in The Labyrinth and then later his music, but I was trying
For those that didn't know.
David Bowie.
he got a autograph for his now ex-girlfriend's family.
I know, what a bummer.
So we were wondering, why didn't he just get the autograph for himself?
Then I loved his music, but I was trying to impress this girl at the time and took my shot on the autograph. I did not get one for myself, which sucks because we haven't spoken in 15 years.
I'd just write a note out of the blue and ask for it back.
One of the family members was named Stacy with an EY, but Bowie actually asked me how to spell it with an EY or an IE. He really put me on the spot and I had to guess. I was already nervous, just wanted him to hurry up and sign before the elevator closed. Opened. Classic Bowie. Vin Diesel. Yeah, I'm about 6'3", 220. He was a few inches taller than me. I remember thinking that I could bench more than him if needed, but Rock was massive. His forearm was as big as my thigh. Speaking of big dudes, Johnny Damon was in one time. I didn't even talk to him for whatever reason, but I couldn't get over how jacked he looked. He was probably my size generally, but his neck and shoulders were like a gorilla, and he had big-ass hands and forearms, too. Really? Maybe not that shocking for a professional athlete, but when you see him around other pros all day, you don't realize how different these guys are compared to normal schlubs. Damon would absolutely kill Vin Diesel if we could set that fight up. Also, Ari size. Seth Green was possibly 5'1". I'm not even buying the 5'4". He immediately resented my height, even though we had no interaction that day. I could sense it. And one final thing on the subject of physicality. Al Gore had the strongest handshake I've ever felt. Was alarmingly firm, second only to the Big Show, who could break your hand like a twig.
Because he's an android.
Are you cereal?
Let's see. I don't care if you mention my name. Weinberg has no power over me anymore.
That's what you think. Weinberg will track you down. Weinberg.
How big a... Why is Max Weinberg such a dick? I mean, honest to God, that is...
Maybe he's been
so
in the,
distressing, isn't it?
Maybe he's been in the shadow of Bruce and Conan for so long, he just wants to exercise whatever minimal power he has over our people. I don't know.
You know, in Bruce's book, at one point, he mentions when he and the E Street Band splinter, which, I don't know, did that surprise you, Trudy, when that happened?
Yeah, kind of. It did.
It took me by surprise because it was like, oh, it's the perfect group of guys. They love each other. They want to be together for life. And they sort of almost have. Right. But there was a point around 1989, 1990, where Bruce realized that, you know, having a band is like having a bunch of children because they always need something, you know, and they always come to him.
Yeah,
and it just, I think it really wore him down. And a lot of times it was money. You know, somebody needs an advance, and, you know, you get to be stars, you take it for granted, you overspend, you live a big lifestyle, and then all of a sudden, it's his problem when something goes south.
Yeah, he did bellyache about them having to babysit them a lot.
That's a good word for it, babysitting.
there's a forum entitled Max Weinberg Shockingly Rude.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Different people's experiences.
Oh, I love it.
I had no idea that his son is the drummer for Slipknot. That, like, blew my mind. I did not know that.
God, there's a lot of kid drummers of drummers out there.
A lot of nepotism out there. Oh, the nepotism that I found out yesterday that blew my mind. I was telling you about it before the show.
Which one?
I'm watching NFL Sunday Night Football.
Oh! Yes, I saw it the week before, Mark.
And I'm kind of not. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brandon? Do you know the nepotism within
on NFL the channel, night? The NBC game Sunday night?
Yeah. Do you know what it was? Okay, so I'm watching it, and I'm kind of half paying attention. And I hear, after the break, we'll visit with Jack Collinsworth and blah, 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 blah.
I'm like, Jack Collinsworth?
Wait, Jack Collinsworth? Did they just mess up Chris's name or something? And they come back, and his kid is... like the on-field post-game interview guy. And he sounds just like Collinsworth. I'm like, gee, I wonder how he got that gig.
I was so pissed, Mark, because they were going on and on about, this is last week, about how, Jack Collinsworth will be talking to blah, blah, blah after the game. And then they start talking about Jack like he's just the most important guy. And then I think Chris said something like, I wish I had his hair. And so... they go down and show Jack, who's, of course, yucking it up, like, and he starts running his hands through his hair, like, yeah, look at this fucking hair. Look at me.
Hey, a lot of 24-year-olds get a gig right on NBC sidelines. It happens all the time to 24-year-old men.
It's like Chelsea Clinton getting that ABC News job. What a fucking joke.
I felt like I was duped, and that's why I was really mad about it. I'm like, I didn't know this thing existed, and they just sprung it on me.
That's exactly how I felt.
What is going on?
Nobody told me about this.
Should I play it? I can cue it up here pretty quick.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, give me a second. You know what? It might not be on here. This might just be the game the way they're doing it. Never mind.
I do have that boner line, though.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we... Because Trudy just...
I guess she got bored with the football talk.
Yeah, apparently so. I'll mention Dr. Roche and all the things that they do over there, like converting body fat to muscle mass. Growth of all tissues, energy level, tissue repair, whole body healing, cell replacement, bone strength, brain function, sexual function, organ health and integrity, enzyme production. They take off tattoos. They take fat out of you, out of your stomach, and they can put it in your ass with those Brazilian butt lifts. They can do Diva.
Nice phrasing.
And they can make you perform better. They've got HGH. They've got it all, the fountain of youth. Not to mention all the great nose jobs and breast lifts and boobs, all the time boobs. Or maybe you want your boobs lifted and they can put fat in them now. You don't even have to put an implant in, but you could put an implant in. In fact, why not? Why don't you consult with Dr. Roche at DRROCHE or call 248-338-1110 and the Boner Line. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, Boner Line? I know this is probably useless, me calling about this, because Boner Line is dead, but...
Whiner.
I have no idea what the fuck Brian's song is. One of the Road Warriors passes away and they just blow it off like it's nothing. It's the Road Warriors.
It's still real to me, damn it.
When wrestlers talk about big entrances and big things, what do they say? They got a Road Warriors pop. A Road Warriors pop is huge. And now we've lost them both and we got to listen to all this shit about fucking Gale Sayers? R.I.P. to the Road Warriors.
What a rush.
You guys talk about the Rotten Tomatoes worst movies and Ridiculous 6. Fucking awful. I don't know how this dude got paid to make that movie. Holy shit.
The worst movie ever.
Here's my movie review. I watched Cuties.
Hello, Cutie Pie.
Number one overall, not a great movie. It's a movie about a girl trying to fit in at school and realizes her family's important and comes full circle and gives her mom a hug.
Oh, my mother!
That's basically the movie. Now, there are a couple dance scenes where there's some twerking and some weird, like, tug-a-bunchy in the ass of an 11-year-old. That, maybe, is pushing it a little bit. But, like Mark said, the coming-of-age movies, look at Porky's, looking through the peephole in the locker room. Now, those kids are a little older. Overall, shitty movie. I would not recommend it.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
Brandon answered what happened to the girl from Remember the Titans, the little girl. She's actually in the Detroit area. She's actually the superintendent of Plymouth Canton Community Schools.
I wish my babies could have the same sort of teacher, the same sort of friend.
Drew, just because a 10-year-old can destroy Ringo on the drums doesn't mean you gotta take it out on her.
Mango Star?
You guys are going down the top 100 list and talked about Steely Dan. Steely Dan's come up a couple other times on the podcast, and every time you guys mention Steely Dan, I think of back on Riff. Drew went to a Steely Dan concert and was accused of boogieing at the concert.
Get this thing.
You are one pathetic loser.
Brandon, you stink bug. Jeez. Interviewing Iron Mike Ditka, Drew's telling the story about him calling that guy the Gutless Wonder, and you totally ripped ass.
You we'll see who the Gutless Wonder is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you called him out and said, you come down and my address is, and you gave the address for Bears headquarters, and I'll beat your ass.
Smelly, but I love it.
Just listening to the show, and you were talking about who does the Night Stalker look like, and I'll tell you who he looks like. Chrissy fucking Teigen.
Oh, I love your face. It's so unusual.
You guys are talking about brushes with celebrity. About 84, I was standing in line at the bank, and I was standing behind this person. I thought it was a chick. Long, stringy, curly hair. And I didn't think anything of it till he turned to the side, and it was Tiny Tim.
Why, that's why I wish again I was in Michigan, down on the farm.
In the mid-90s, I lived in Texas.
We love you, Texas.
And I went to the Texas State High School basketball finals at the University of Texas. And sitting next to me was Earl Campbell. He was very
sweet.
Nice, but the fastest, best move I saw Earl make at that time was about three trips to the concession stands.
Hey, guys. I just saw the Batmobile drive by on Hines Drive in Northville now. So there's been a Batmobile sighting. Very exciting.
Yeah, well, replicas of Batman.
And that's it for the day. And the one thing I wanted to wrap on was we mentioned Jack Collinsworth. And you know how Chris Collinsworth spells his name all weird? C-R-I-S?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course, Jack, you have to take the K away. It's J-A-C.
Oh, no, I'm really pissed. I was angry before. Now I'm really angry.
That's it.
I meant to mention this yesterday, and I thought of it today because I saw this crazy story about this guy in New Hampshire who finds out on his wife's phone that she is having a fling with this guy. So he uses her phone to lure this guy to this area where he takes his wife, who he's beaten the living shit out of, by the way. She had two black eyes. Kills the guy she's having a fling with. Boy, really proved that she shouldn't do that anymore. Yeah. Really proved that she should be with him only. Killed him and made his wife decapitate her lover.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, how about that?
Why did she do it?
Why'd she?
Oh. Did she go, I guess it's already time.
Well, if you look at her face, she's...
Yeah, she got two black eyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think she was beating the shit out of her.
I think she was pretty scared of the guy by the time he killed the boyfriend.
Oh, holy. Boy. How'd she... I mean, that's does a fun it say story. Machete?
I don't know. I don't think it said how she took his head off. But
pocket knife.
She's been charged also.
She carved it
off. A really sharp stick, Trudy. It took a long time.
She whittled.
Yeah, it took a really long time. A pizza cutter. Jeez. Those rollers. Sorry, too soon?
I just need to know these things.
I also saw this story on ID that was...
Yeah, it would not be easy to decapitate someone.
No.
No. Oh, God. This guy on ID who, well, the story was really about his stepdaughter and how she had gone to work. And then I think she was taking a break in the middle of the day and she was going to go to her mother's house. And then she was going to meet somebody. And she left for her mother's house. And then it seemed that she just poof, just disappeared. Hmm. So I think this is on See No Evil is the show, which is... I like that show because it's basically crimes that are solved by surveillance cameras, which
cool.
Seems like so many now. I mean, it's amazing how many crimes are solved that way. So they, of course, they start looking for her car. Like, well, where'd she go? And they find it in this town nearby. And so they notice there's a surveillance camera. Mm-hmm. So they see the car pulling in to the spot. They watch it. And they see her get out, and she walks down this alley. It's like, that's weird. So they really can't seem to find out anything more, but eventually, after they watch it a few times, they get an expert in on determining the height of a person. Mm-hmm. And this person says, you know what? That person that gets out of the car is 6 feet tall.
Yeah, they really need an expert. That's their only area of expertise.
I don't think
that guy is 6'2".
I don't think it was anybody they brought in from Czechoslovakia or anything. I think it was someone who does this sort of thing or is able to. Or it might have been somebody in their department. I don't know. But they didn't right away. They weren't quite certain how tall the person was. But someone was able to tell them, yeah, the person is at least 6 feet tall. And then someone else noticed that, you know, when they're bending down for about 20 seconds, I think they're putting the seat up. They're moving the seat up to where she would sit to make it appear that it's her and it's not her. And who is it? So they keep watching. They keep going back to the video, and they keep watching it longer. And eventually they notice that, oh, well, after a few minutes, when she goes back to this alley, this big white truck comes out of there, and somebody feels like, God, I feel like that truck looks familiar. And they realize that, oh, there's that black stripe that is down below the – it's got a cab on the back, and there's a black stripe. They realize – wait, we've seen that car in her mother's driveway.
Oh.
It's my dream truck, man. It's just, that's why I lied.
It's that guy.
And then they see, I think, that vehicle somewhere else on its way home.
Uh-oh.
And they're like, what the hell's going on here? And so they had interviewed the mother and the stepfather, and they go back, and they I think they search the house. They can't really find anything on first glance, but after seeing this videotape a few more times, they go back and they say, listen, this is your, we know this is your truck. We saw it. It leaves, you know, it looks like you drove her car. You got out, you went in the alley, drove her car. And so the guy goes, let's go upstairs and talk about this. And he basically knows he's busted. And so he says,
a great sleuth.
He says, okay, I'll tell you exactly what happened. She came over here and she wanted to use the computer. So she sat down right here. And I came up behind her and shot her in the head.
Oh, my God.
And then I had sex with her body.
What?
And then I took her body and I buried it. And it was, you know, I think 5 miles away from the house or something. And he was on a really tight clock. He said, I was on a real tight clock, so I had to hurry up and get back here.
What?
Drive her car down there and pick up my truck, which I'd left down there. And I had to be back here to meet my employees, because that was his excuse was, it was at the house. Shit, my employees came to get their paychecks. And so he got home in time to be there before his employees get their paychecks. But what he didn't say was that, yeah, in that little period
in
the interim.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
I only got rid of her fucking body. I went down and dropped her car off and you know, I had dropped my car off and I took it back. And so, you
I was
know,
proud of himself?
Kind of. And then he revealed.
Good time managing.
He revealed that he had harbored this fantasy of nailing dead chicks for a long, Jesus. Long time. And that for some reason, his daughter in or his stepdaughter dead just was the ultimate attraction
my
to him.
Oh, God.
And so he nailed her dead. And then it's like, I'm okay. I can go to prison and be happy, I guess. I'll just live on that the rest of my life.
Yeah, my bucket list is complete now.
That's kind of how he made it sound.
Oh, jeez. So
that's insane.
I know. It was so bizarre. And he was very matter of fact about it.
He was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
See ya.
Oh, brother.
Monster.
So what did you think of the vow last night? The Nexium show? I think it's episode 4 or 5.
Is it 5? I thought it might have been 6. It was,
what was
fucking.
It,
it was fucking great.
I know it is. So it's a pretty good documentary, I have to say. If you haven't started it,
I would say they should have made it maybe 3 episodes. There's a lot of fat in there they could have trimmed out, but
yeah, I think they're trying to get some points across, and maybe it's a bit belabored because it is hard to understand why are these people in this thing for so long, and what the fuck are they doing? That's honestly what I feel like. I still don't really know. What are you doing in this thing for all these hours? Because they make it sound like, oh my God, I worked from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every night. I barely got any sleep, and I fuck Keith once in a while, and you know. But
they do volleyball and
they
that.
Play volleyball
that,
at 10:30, and
they're becoming then, better people. That's really what it is, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And he is so full of bullshit. He is all bullshit, 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 bullshit.
Amazing bullshitter, man.
And I do give him credit, though, because he does manage to create this, surround himself with these women, and he sleeps with all of them, and they pretty much know he's sleeping with all of them. And not only that, when one of them gets mad at them, at him, he goes to the other ones and says, oh, my God, I got to lay down. Trudy, you won't believe what she's arguing with me about. And then the girls would go to you, Trudy, and they go, Trudy, leave him alone. He's completely splayed out on the couch. He's so upset because you won't leave him alone about fucking 8 other women.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
The hell's wrong with you? So he has the system. It's perfectly set up. No one can even get mad at him.
Well, I mean, he talks so deeply. He knows so much about everything. None of this is just gobbledygook bullshit psychobabble. Let's hear what he has to say.
There is a part of our existence that is indescribable. Like, for example, the experience of pain.
That's describable.
Say, well, your nerves, the fire, and go up into your brain. Those are signals. That's not the experience
of pain.
But you can
experience pain.
Because there are certain aspects where you really like pain. You ever have someone hit the volleyball at you fast? Really hard?
Yeah. Everyone plays volleyball every night, Keith.
Doesn't it feel neat when you hit it? You know that's pain.
Whoa! Pain, wow, that's deep and heavy.
Get it!
There he is watching about. God,
oh my God, he's so deep.
The first tip should have been how into volleyball he is.
I know.
You don't have any disintegrations, is that correct?
He has no disintegrations.
He's such a tool.
He's such an asshole.
But he talks this bullshit, and a couple of the women said, you know, I really wasn't attracted to him at all. But then, you know, he grows on you and he's so knowledgeable and he's so accomplished. And I just fell in love with him.
Yeah.
And he's accomplished nothing.
No, he's accomplished nothing, exactly, except for talking people into paying lots of money to go attend these stupid classes about
something.
How to be a better person. I mean, it's total bullshit. And, of course, they overcharge people, and then they tell them they need to take other classes. And need to, oh, my God, you really have potential. If you only just came for this weekend session, which only costs $3,000, you could be an even better person. And, of course, they hard sell them, and it sounded like those upper-level females, that they were just really good salespeople.
Here's where he's talking to a former board member. Of course, it's post-volleyball.
Keith began flirting with me and pursuing me.
That's always good to flirt with your board members.
But it wasn't until months later that I actually started dating him.
Doesn't he seem like a little high school kid when he's like hitting on these chicks?
Yes. He kisses all the women on the lips, by the way, when he sees them.
Because I was a businesswoman and I was all self-made. I could match him in a way that other people couldn't.
He's not that hard to match, honey.
That we would work together to help make a difference in the world.
Oh, please.
Oh,
hello, everyone. It's an honor to be on the call this evening. I was 40 years old and had a highly successful financial planning firm, a couple million dollars in the bank, and my business was worth a couple of million, and one could say I had it all, but I didn't.
And
because
I gave
she
up
didn't
making
have Keith Raniere
to help build the company. I was the first board member.
Didn't he nail everyone on the board, too?
Yes,
by the way,
he was nailing the entire board at one time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nine women.
This lady created Vanguard Week, the big week-long birthday
party. Yeah. They spent days celebrating his birthday.
Did you like when he did his modeling shoot?
And, you know, they didn't have any professional image.
Oh, God, stupid.
Look at him.
Do you feel like a supermodel yet?
He thinks he's so fucking
so that's
hot.
That's my business sense that I brought to the table.
I know she is. She never gets up.
During my time.
Of course, then she finds out that he's nailing all these people, and this chick calls him out on it, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, did you notice when they had the encounter, when the nine of them encountered him?
Oh,
that part?
Yeah.
That was kind of funny because he just starts flinging bullshit answers right away. You know, you're fucking all of us, and we know it. And they don't say it that way, but he has, of course, some incredibly BS answer. And then when they say they're all leaving, after this meeting with him, when they decide he is totally full of shit. When we all get together and we all know our stories and we lay into him, he's full of shit.
See ya.
So they're all owed. Some of them had loaned money to him, which is like, why would you loan him money?
Yeah, like the Brothmans and that.
Well, they gave him millions and millions. They were billionaires.
Yeah.
They were Edgar Bronfman's daughters. But they had earned all this money in commissions, too. And so they said, we resign, and you owe us, was it collectively, $2 million?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so he, of course, then reveals it. They want $2 million from me, and they're trying to extort money. And, you know, we're going to have to take legal action. And he uses the Bronfman's money, these billionaire girls who are completely taken in by Keith. Although I don't think he lowered himself to sleep with them. Just a feeling. Maybe I'm wrong. But they sue these people off the planet.
Oh,
there are so many civil suits and criminal suits, just suit after suit after suit after suit. The one girl said she spent 7 years defending herself against these lawsuits.
So imagine yourself nailing everybody on your board and then them confronting you. I think he handled it pretty well, actually.
And she said, don't leave yet. Come back to Albany and let's talk. And I held a forum at my home to discuss the issues of Nixon with the intent to address and confront Keith.
He's not
and
gonna
that's
like that.
When I found out the board consisted of all the women Keith had been sleeping with.
Hey, bring out the whore!
And
they
there were nine
around.
Strong women who wanted to confront him.
Who wants to start?
I mean, I can begin by sharing that each person here in this room has conveyed with me the work that we do
how essential it is to their lives.
Okay, so the first issue is the control strategies. There's a conflict of interest.
The first issue is control strategies. In other words, you're fucking with us because you're nailing all of us.
It perpetuates a circle of people close to you that do not question your authority. And I don't know if you want to address this or if you want me to just go ahead. And
I think it's our responsibility.
Okay. Not only that, there's nothing to address per se.
He loves the phrase per se. Have you ever noticed that throughout the documentary?
Oh, yeah.
So he immediately takes control of this meeting and just starts spewing bullshit.
Transparency doesn't mean everything is seen by everyone at all times.
isn't that exactly
that's convenient.
What transparency means?
Community is very scientific. However, you have oftentimes told me that should I have an emotional reaction that's negative, that I am altering your health.
I'm altering your health. If she's being negative, you're hurting Keith.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, I have to give him credit. I wondered how he did this, and I feel like I'm starting a little clue.
Because it's all about being positive and spreading joy and being happy. So if there's any pushback that's negative, then you're not following the Nexium way. It's actually quite genius in how he set that up.
Yeah, I mean, you had for a guy to look like that and pull those chicks, and that should have been the first clue, is that, where are all the women in Nexium? They're all attractive.
Yeah.
They're all good looking. And there were a lot of good looking ones that once those nine left, it was like, wow, look at all the ones he's got to pick from now.
That's right. He lost his whole board because they all quit after that meeting.
Yeah, and they acted like, we're going to upgrade the board. And then
it worked for a while.
How about the infamous Dalai Lama visit?
Yeah, that's embarrassing. What?
The Dalai Lama's for sale. I had no idea.
I was embarrassed for Lama.
That was really disappointing. And the Dalai Lama was trying to act like such a respected religious leader. And but once you see him around Keith Raniere, it's like, oh, bullshit. And I think they paid him $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really? He's million?
He's for sale. The Dalai Lama's for sale, Trudy. Wow. He can do balloon tricks at your birthday party.
Let's start a GoFundMe to get the Lama. Get Lama at Trudy's birthday party.
Oh, that was so
bad. To raise $1 million?
Yeah. Can we get a... What kind of a fund?
If we raised $1 million, I don't want to give it to Llama.
I would just give it to llamas, and that would be more fun, probably.
Brandon, you've been very quiet. Is that because you're eating dinner?
No, I'm focusing on your story. It's very well told.
You're such a liar. I saw that your Zoom was muted when you started eating because you didn't want to make any noise.
Carefully.
That's not true.
You could hear the spoon go down.
Muted.
You never mute your Zoom.
It was muted because Madeline came down here and she was awfully loud, and I didn't want to ruin the show.
Oh, I like that you do that when you're babysitting during the show. That's great.
No, I'm not babysitting, but Kristen had to come down here to give me a plate of food, and Madeline was with her.
Oh, my God. What are you, Keith Raniere?
I know. This is
totally.
He's totally
this is
Keith
better
Raniere.
Weaseling than Keith Raniere.
Yeah. Brandon's going to have a board soon.
Hey, so I got a question about the Bort Beisner story.
The Bort Beisner?
No, nobody can read it. It's behind a paywall.
I know. That's why I have a question, because I can't. I've tried on Twitter. I tried all these different sources, and
why
I can't get past the
paywall?
Stupid paywall.
Is Bort Beisner's biography that big a deal?
No, but all you can think of.
Paywall?
What's it about?
If I was Bort Beisner, I would not want the story about my new book
no,
to be behind a paywall.
Absolutely not, because less people are going to read it.
Yeah.
Bort Beisner wants to sell a book about Bort Beisner, so... Why do they do that to Bort Beisner?
Don't know.
He had a rather unfortunate upbringing here in the Boulder City, and then he did work at the Grandy Theater for a while.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
He was sort of in the rock and roll business, and then he got in the news business and reached the top of the Fox 2 news ladder, where he was Bill Bodd's boss, that he was the last person to fire Bill Bodd's, which is pretty impressive.
I will never know, though. Can't read the article.
And now he represents some of Detroit's largest television and radio personalities.
Oh, okay. Who?
All of them.
Roberta Josita.
Really?
And her Bale compatriot, whoever that is. Bale.
Joe Donovan.
Is it Joe Donovan? No,
isn't it?
Is it Joe Donovan? Isn't he gone?
Is he? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
What, did he leave like 10 years ago?
He's probably.
Last time I listened to WWJ before
you know,
10 he represents Glenda Ed Diane Lewis.
Oh, really?
Diane Lewis. I don't know what's to represent Diane Lewis. Does she have, she has a couple commercials.
Yeah, maybe. She does. Oh, but he's got Valeni, isn't
Mike
he Valeni? Still
Valeni? I believe he has.
I
Mike
think
Valeni.
He had almost all of 97.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I believe so. But he had a very tragic,
I'm very important
upbringing, a very unhappy childhood, very rough, which he overcame through rock and roll. And news.
Okay, well, that's cool.
And now representing various personalities.
Does he kiss and tell about any of those people? Or
I didn't get the feeling there's a lot of kiss and telling in there. No. I mean, he still represents these people.
Did he
understand the concept of Jacinta-ing in?
Not that I'm aware of. he should, if he really knows Jacinta, Roberta Jacinta, he should have that in the book because that shows how big Roberta made it.
Yeah.
I hate to be the guy to point this out, but he has a eulogy for Gail Sayers, and he spelled Gail's name wrong.
He does?
He spelled it G-A-I-L.
Like a girl?
Yeah, not G-A-L-E.
Why is Bort Beisder a Gail Sayers fan?
He says, the death of remarkable athlete in person Gail Sayers brings back memories of working with outstanding sports reporter Jeannie Morris, who wrote the book about Brian Piccolo, his death and relationship with Sayers. Jeannie was an incredibly special talent during her days at CBS.
Wow.
And rest in peace, Gail.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
Too soon, Gail Sayers.
Does he describe the Bill Bonds, the famous story?
No.
He talks about Bill Bonds spelling like alcohol quite frequently.
That's kind of general.
Being forced to clean out his desk a few times, and ironically, Bort, who started out working for Bill Bonds, ended up making him clean out his desk for the final time at WJBK.
Clean out your desk, you're gone!
Channel 2, I believe he hired him over there, too. So Bort has quite a history with Bill Bonds. And I'm trying to think what else is, because I did get behind the paywall. At what time?
You did?
Good evening, I'm Bill Bonds. Nothing is new. Good night.
Somebody sent the story, I think, and it wasn't... I know. Are people paying to get behind the paywall, I wonder?
I did.
I wonder how many hits they're getting behind
the
paywall.
For the free press.
I mean...
Wait, you don't get both if you buy?
No. Well, they're different, owned by different companies.
I see. Well...
But I can't afford two papers in one city. And the Washington Post and the New York Times.
All I know is that one about the Patriot Way was behind the paywall. So I was like, that's all I knew.
Yeah, that was Sean's.
The headline. Yeah.
I immediately did not care about that story because it was crediting the Patriot Way for the victory. And I thought, that's yeah. ridiculous. The Patriot Way has done nothing.
See, the devil's in the details. You should have read it.
I wasn't buying it.
Sean's going to be very disappointed.
Tell Sean I'm sorry.
Tomorrow when we talk to Jocelyn Benson.
Oh,
Detroit.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
She has a lot of things going on, that Jocelyn Benson.
Yeah, she's,
you know,
she gets a lot of hate and love thrown at her.
You know what I didn't realize until today is that we didn't have to pay for our license tags.
What?
Or have them renewed. What? From March until
yeah,
like
until
now.
This week.
And I know.
Yeah.
And I'm mad because I didn't procrastinate more.
Oh, because you paid
right
when before?
Did you get yours done?
I got mine done, you know, before my birthday. I was stressing out about it even, and I didn't know. I could have just let
Wait.
It go.
Oh,
actually, you stress out about renewing your driver's license?
I do because I forget. I leave it to the last minute, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, I got a million things to do. I don't have time.
Well, Drew didn't have insurance for like 5 years.
I know,
you
he told
him
me
stress.
That.
No, most people, it seems like it goes by. Oh, my God, my license has been not renewed for 3 years. It's crazy.
Wait, didn't that happen to someone else recently? They didn't have something.
It happens.
Like
it happens to people all the time.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous.
Crazy.
Whoops.
So this Music Exec Fund's fake VMA event.
Oh, yeah, that's
Fire Festival.
That's that Fire Festival story I've been telling you about.
Wannabe music industry insider Matt Forrester promised he would gather a host of superstars from J-Lo in the weekend to 50 Cent at his posh Mondrian Park Avenue for an award show-related bash like none since the COVID-19 pandemic began. An award show bash?
Well, remember, they didn't really even do the VMAs live.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know why he thought he was going to have this this giant party.
He got record exec Scott Koppel to pay thousands to sponsor the weekend-long event, claiming it would be featured on MTV's Video Music Awards, which aired August 30th. Force's VMA party turned out to be a fraud. Some are calling the Manhattan Fire Festival. The celebrities didn't show. MTV was not involved. And the whole event, which featured a red carpet with a bogus VMA sign, was finally busted up by the cops for being too loud. He lied about everything, said Koppel, the CEO of Run It Up Recordings, a two-year-old hip-hop and pop label that works with artists including Bambi, Chris Miles, and DJ Who Kid. Whatever that is.
You'll hear more about DJ Who Kid.
He had jumped at the opportunity to have his talent take part in one of music's biggest nights. We're going to be the B-roll for the live show, Koppel said, Forrester told him. My artist would be on the screen. He said an MTV film crew was going to follow us around for the whole weekend. By agreeing to be part of the festivities, Koppel believed he was conned out of nearly $50,000 in what he dubbed the Manhattan Fire Festival.
Oops.
What I said to him was very clearly, I think what we could probably do is grab a B-roll follow system, so when you come in, would you like to have a camera there, and then you could use that internally.
Huh? That's Forrester, the scamster, saying that, disputing what Koppel said, where Koppel said, no, MTV was going to follow you around with B-roll. So his answer to that is, no, I told him we'd have a camera if you guys wanted to use it for your own internal stuff.
He said Koppel's creating his own reality.
Yeah.
DJ Who Kid, a Sirius XM DJ signed to G-Unit Records and a hip-hop industry vet, works as an A&R exec for Koppel's label, agreed to participate in Forrester's weekend because he saw it as a good opportunity to network with big stars in the Latin music market. After being told that 50 Cent, a longtime friend, was scheduled to DJ too, Who Kid said he contacted the rapper's production manager to coordinate efforts. But a rep for 50 Cent confirmed his team was unaware of the event, and I quote. Who Kid said he relayed his concerns.
I don't know, you know. It happened.
Relayed his concerns to Koppel the Thursday before the VMAs, but Koppel said he was already too knee-deep in sponsorship money to pull out.
Why? Wouldn't you just pull out at that point if you were thinking it was a scam?
Well, it's nothing to pull out of.
Well, yeah, but why? Well, you'll find out. He ends up having to pay more money.
I wish he would have said Ja Rule would have been there.
When Koppel and Who Kid arrived at the Mondrian, another red flag was raised, and there's no official MTV producer present. Oops. There's nobody to take our luggage. There's nothing from the VMAs on the hotel at all. The hotel lobby was somber due to the shortage of guests amid the pandemic, and just one employee was visible at the front desk when guests arrived. Before retreating to his room, Koppel scoped out the 15th floor where performances were supposed to take place.
I've never even been up there.
The furniture in the interior part of the floor had been cleared, but the outdoor space where the performances would be held had only a few men with black roadie cases standing around. They wouldn't set up because Forrester didn't pay the bill, but they didn't tell me that.
That's the scamster Forrester, yeah.
So he comes outside asking for my credit card. According to Koppel, Forrester told him the stage hadn't been set up due to rain delays, despite no precipitation in the past 2 hours.
What an amazing liar. There's been no rain, and he blames rain delays. I like this guy, the way he thinks on his feet.
He then requested to put a charge on hold on Koppel's credit card for the hotel rooms.
You also know there might be a problem with an event when they're asking you for your credit card while the event's about to start.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
At that point, Koppel told us he had already paid $11,900 for all of his and his artist rooms. He also paid $10,887 for the sponsorship, which another source has said was split between the Mondrian and Forrester.
Looking too good.
Koppel said he later found out Forrester charged him an additional $3,638 to pay the stage people to set up the stage, adding that if MTV really were involved, the network should have forked over the cash. With no celeb sightings at the hotel as the supposedly A-list dinner drew closer, speculation the entire event was a hoax began to grow among the guests. I'm surprised this guy's even
while the
pretending
event's going on.
It's still going on.
While the event's happening.
Oops. The private dinner celebrated music video directors Jesse and Ulysses Torero.
Huge. Everyone knows them.
A group of 10 well-dressed guests were escorted to a lower level of the hotel where they all gathered at an elongated table for custom drinks and food. Barry Mullineaux, a well-known nightclub owner who ran New York hotspots like Greenhouse and Juliet, told Page Six that Forrester contacted him to offer the Mondrian to host the Torero dinner. As well as Toast
McCarty, your party sucks.
The rum company paid for the dinner, which totaled $1,400.
This party is officially boring. I'm bored. And you people are very rude. Let's get out of here.
During dinner, Forrester was hard to get a hold of, claiming he was busy doing a million things. After dinner, guests were taken to the hotel's terrace floor. Johnny Donovan, a publicist who's worked with MTV Talent, was seen handling the guest list at the door that night. A source told Page Six they were informed that Donovan was set to be MTV's official rep on site, but we confirmed he is not directly involved with the network. Oh!
Ouch. Ouch.
Donovan told Page Six he is dumbfounded by the situation, said he never told Forrester or anyone else he was an MTV employee. I was just being brought on to help at the door. I'm shocked that my name is going around like this. I'm not sure if I should sue for defamation. Donovan claims...
Sue who? The guy is a scamster. He doesn't have any money.
Forrest. Donovan says Forrester told him he was being hired for an official MTV event and that his room at the Mondrian would be comped, but said he was never even paid for working the door. Oh, my God.
Ouch.
Working the door?
Yeah, really? I guess
working
like...
the door?
I assume that they meant like for the VIPs and the celebrities and all.
I've literally been chasing this guy for money, Donovan told us. He promised me he'd paid me, and I got stuck with a 1300 Mondrian Park Avenue bill for my room.
You know who you don't want to work the door in New York City? This guy.
I could envelop the entire doorknob with my foreskin.
Do not let that guy work the door.
Who kid agreed to play that night from the balcony? But could tell it wasn't an official MTV event when he realized how lax things were. There's no moving around, doing whatever you want at any kind of MTV situation. Who Kid, who's attended previous VMA events, told us. Ooh.
The great sleuths.
The accessibility was just ridiculous. Once I see that I'm in my slippers DJing, smoking weed, I'm like, all right, this is bullshit. The clueless
it's
guests.
Not like he was having a good time.
The clueless guests partied until around 11 p.m. when they were told the police were arriving to shut down the party due to noise.
You and me are the only cool people here. Everybody. Yeah, it's just a bunch of posers and hoes and shitheads.
Forrester appeared panicked as he pulled down his face mask and made the announcement, NYPD is entering this floor. Guests then scrambled to leave.
What a party.
Here's a picture of when the police arrived.
Yeah, isn't that great? With his mask down. Such a load. The guy looks like a total load, too.
Next morning, the day of the VMAs, words began to spread that Forrester's main event for the weekend could be called off altogether, and it was.
The main event, wow.
Koppel and another source alleged Forrester told him MTV was to blame for the event falling through, and Koppel claims Forrester tried to convince him to still host the event despite MTV's lack of involvement. What?
Hey, he's powering through.
What? I don't understand the point of this. He doesn't even make that much money scamming this.
Yeah, you find out he didn't make a couple grand, I think, in the end.
But for all that trouble?
Oh, no.
For
I would
all
have
that lying?
I would have disappeared on day one.
Meanwhile, Forrester admitted to Page Six that about 48 hours before the dinner, the alleged stars that a guest list had started to dwindle. It became clear we were not going to be able to ascertain any talent because we sent a boomerang out and the boomerang didn't come back.
What does that mean?
He said he didn't notify Koppel because it fell through the cracks.
He had a lot of things going on. He had to deal with that rain delay with no rain.
Forrester, who also goes by the name Matt Starr, what? Began cultivating relationships within the industry insiders months ahead of the VMA event, Page Six has learned. Music producer Corey Regenbush, also known as Moonbounce, believes he and his wife, singer Push Push, were one of the first targets of Forrester's plan. He said Forrester contacted his wife via Instagram DM, claiming to work in the music industry. At the time, she was working on new music with Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee.
It's going to get more ridiculous.
Regenbush said Push Push and Forrester began to build rapport. On Instagram, Forrester did not share any photos of his middle-aged bearded self, but rather just random images. In his bio, he had tagged Endeavor, a reputable talent agency, and told several sources he's affiliated with them.
It's a big scam.
Forrester saw DJ Who Kid at a party hosted by Molyneux earlier this year. At that gathering, Who Kid said Forrester asked him to participate in a virtual COVID-19 fundraiser on May 15 to benefit the New York Presbyterian Hospital to be held at the Mondrian.
Forgot about this scam.
I thought I was doing something for the hospital because he caught me at a time where, you know, it was really fucked up out there, Who Kid said. All hospital workers or anybody who's a first responder was getting sick, so I used my radio show to promote it. Koppel said his wife donated about...
I don't know, you know. It happens.
His wife donated about $2,000 to $3,000 to the cause, and he met Forrester for the first time through that event.
I think here's Forrester's pitch to DJ Who Kid.
If you give us money, then we'll, like, give it to other people or something.
Forrester then contacted Who Kid a second time to host another charity event for the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation at the Mondrian on May 24th. Who Kid agreed and was told he would interview several stars for the live stream.
Oh, I forgot about this part. Yeah.
Though Moonbounce and his wife Through Moonbounce and his wife, Forrest arranged for Who Kid to interview Tommy Lee on Instagram Live. Wow. However, all the other celebs fell through.
That's the only one he did.
I'm looking at Forrester like, yo, I'm never doing this again because you were like super unorganized. It's not only embarrassing, but this is really whack. Forrester said all donations were made through Instagram. You're right.
Yeah, donations through Instagram. That's how people donate
There's
money.
Tommy Lee on the Instagram Live. Look at that.
I know. I was looking for it. I kind of want to hear how terrible
how
it is.
Stupid.
Oh, wow. Man, does he look bad?
Jesus. He looks kind of weird. Forrester maintains he's innocent, telling us, I don't deal with night like scum. This is why I don't. I find it obnoxious that somehow the New York Post becomes a trial, jury, and executioner.
By the way, the interview with Tommy Lee is 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And it includes Brittany Ferlin, his wife.
Yeah.
Should we hear
basically
it?
Basically a cameo. Sure.
Can we listen
while
to
that
it?
Shit.
I mean, well, everybody likes to laugh.
Mm. Oh, this is just a teaser. There's a full, longer one.
It's the best of both worlds. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, she's showing her boobs. Let me see if I can find the full link.
According to one of the blogs, Forrester uses aliases like Matthew Costner and Matthew Jeremy Barry and often relocates. He told us the blogs are an example of cyberbullying. Page 6 of 10 court documents to show Forrester had a court ruling against him in 2006. He was ordered to pay $26,700 to ex Christina Barrios after, as she said in her deposition, Forrester made numerous charges to my American Express charge account that were without my knowledge. Forrester said it was a situation of two people go on vacation and who is responsible to pay it, claiming he and Barrios settled it between us amicably. He'd not receive a single dollar for the VMA event. I didn't get $1. I did all this work. I was supposed to get a commission. I got nothing because Scott didn't pay his bill. So they said, because he didn't pay his bill, I don't get a commission.
Bullshit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Is there anything more of the Tommy Lee?
This is the longer version here.
That's great. Yeah, how does a comedian and a drummer interact? That's some wild ass
comedian?
I mean, well, everybody likes to laugh. Mm. Oh, and I got deep. Nice titties, so. The best of both worlds.
That sounds like the kind of joke Tommy Lee would laugh really hard.
And the real.
So if I can make him laugh and I got nice titties, it's like, why not? You know what I'm saying? That's how that happens. Huh. People are all like, what do Brittany Ferlon and Tommy Lee have in common? I'm like, a lot, bitch. Right here. Right here.
No, you know what's cool? Is, I mean, she's obviously beautiful, but you know what?
My tick feels good inside her.
You know, way more than skin deep. It's like, and laughter is a big one, my man. Like, my face hurts most of the day from laughing so much. You know, when your cheeks get sore. So
I don't know if I believe that.
We have a lot of fun.
We have more fun than humans are allowed to have.
And we're best friends too, which is like amazing. It's so funny because during this quarantine, there's
and I'm mooching on all his interviews.
Let me ask you this: have you heard a question
for her
from DJ Who Kid?
Nope. Stand each other, you know, they're
except
stuck together.
At DJ Who Kid is on the screen.
Like,
yeah, because he doesn't want you stealing this wonderful interview
anymore. But we spend like all of our time together, and it's just so funny. Like, this quarantine hasn't done anything to like, we just
probably got just gotten closer.
You just, yeah, like it's like we just spend all our time quiet together anyway, so it's like funny to see.
Why is she doing the whole interview?
Yeah, she has a piercing voice, too.
To stay home with their partner,
she's
and
so funny.
The kind of girls like, that aren't home that much, and they're like, yeah, fuck this, like we're breaking up, and I'm like, damn, and they're like, how are you doing? And I'm like, we're great, we're making TikToks.
Oh boy, good.
Actually, it's so funny. When I started dating Tommy,
wait,
I lost
is kid who ever gonna
say anything? I don't know. Edit his question out there.
They were like thirsty dudes. That
good one.
Now that then I got married and like all
this look at the background of DJ Who Kid too. That's the party he's supposed to be at. It looks so lame.
I see the red, yellow, and lavender lights going on. Yeah. Oh, he's laughing.
Sorry, guys. Bye. I don't care.
Peace.
See ya. Deuces. Well, I'm like, I'm chilling. See ya, hater.
Later. Yeah, I think he's cutting out all the questions with clips of Tommy.
Hello.
I know you're like very anti-Trump, and you know a lot of people are, but all we need is answers, and it's not even like hate the president. All we want is answers, and I feel like they know something, but they're not trying to tell us.
What?
That's definitely what it feels like. They're just a bunch of nonsense. You're like, what does this have to do with anything, man? What
like this interview
is going on, bro?
They never want to tell you, like, the thing we want to hear. Like, when is the vaccine? All a lie. Who's working on the vaccine? Who got the vaccine? Is there a vaccine?
What are they talking about? All that has been out since day one.
But they keep,
is there?
They be talking about, like,
this guy will say anything.
And it's like the guy that owns, like, you know, all the CVS's. Or they're now, oh, we got this other guy that, you know, there's some kind of, like, money transaction going on.
What a mess.
Like, eight people that run, like, not different looking corporations too good. That's going to benefit from the COVID-19. I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I just want to know.
We when can leave right
stop.
Now.
Even if it's not going to stop. Tell me it's not going to stop. So I can figure out what to do.
I can't wait to hear Tommy Lee's take.
Right?
Tell me that it's fucked up. I'd rather you be
un-American.
Fucked up.
Yeah. This is really fucked up. Here's what you need to do. Run. Get out of here. It's over. It's a wrap. It's time to go post.
Oh, boring. Boring.
Where is, I mean, I'm sure you have, like, you chat with your other rich homies. Where is a safe place that this person can hide? Like,
the people that I know.
That's a great question.
And they're bugging out because they're not used to just staying home. You know, I'm used to staying at home because my studio's here, so I don't really go anywhere.
Plus, he can't drive, Kenny.
A lot of your fans are freaked out because the big tour, which was sold out, was supposed to go down this year.
Sold out stadium tour. And we're...
Well, see, now he's going to be engaged because now he can talk about what he does.
I mean, God willing, hopefully 2021. I mean...
Like I said a million times, hearing...
I mean, God willing...
People talk about
next year, like,
I know.
Something... that they know nothing about is just so dreadful.
In your world, but
hearing non-doctors talk about COVID-19.
100,000 people. Like, how are they going to regulate that?
I do not know, man. Can you imagine, trying to figure that out?
Oh, he's kind of a dim bulb, huh?
Scrambling, trying to figure out how to
he's talking to DJ Who Kid on Instagram.
The mosh pit? Like, is
about
like end,
real things?
You ever thought about that? Is mosh pitting, is it over for mosh pits? Like,
I'm listening to a boring story. Oh, yeah, it's very, very, very boring. I've got to get out of this conversation. What's wrong with this horrible person? Don't you know that you can leave us?
Oh, man, I really never appreciated the depth of Matt Farley.
No, I mean, that was...
He's got so much depth in his catalog.
Far more entertaining than any of that shit.
That was the worst interview I think I've ever seen.
I think I'm on the scammer side all of a sudden because of watching that interview.
No.
And this guy wanted more interviews? He's mad because this is the only interview he got?
Well, maybe he can do better interviews than that.
I mean, if he saw the Motley Crue movie on Netflix, he would have... some good questions to ask. That was 2 years ago. Oh, boy. All right. Yikes. Get us out of here. Get us the hell out of here. I don't want to be near anything broadcasting related after seeing that. I might have to leave the industry. That was horrifying. Oh, my God.
Before we go, let me play this.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me, hope not handcuffs arrived, and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more.
There you go. All right. Carl from Who Are These Podcasts tomorrow. And I think we're going to be talking about Who's Your Daddy? Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Which is one of the tip-top podcasts in the entire country. It's, how old is Alex Cooper? 25 or something? Yeah. And she and her partner had this popular podcast. They split. Alex is on Barstool now. And she had Miley Cyrus on the one show, which is a pretty big get. And I think that's sort of the way they're going, is to replace the partner with big shot guests. And I'm intrigued by this show because it does really well. And anything that does really well, if obviously a lot of people like it, you must be doing something right. So Carl will break it down and we'll talk about a few other things.
And on Facebook Live, on Elric's page, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. I think 11 o'clock for that. I don't know. We're always late. Maybe 11:15.
What's Charlie's new show about?
More of the voting stuff and how legitimate it's going to be. And then he had Steve Hood on about the proposal N for the city of Detroit, which is a very interesting proposal and how it relates to Duggan and the demolition.
Not proposal N is in the N word, is it?
That's funny you say that. You'll have to listen and find out why. It's okay. Funny that you say that.
It's crazy. All right, we'll see you tomorrow with Carl and the usual mayhem. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks, Mike Duggan.